Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live from the Haunted Studios here in Shingle Springs, California, you're listening to Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio.
Actually, tonight at Soulstream, one of the major shows of Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio studios here in Shingle Springs, California, where it's raining the beat hell out here in California. Yes, it's not all sunshine and great weather. We have our share of storms here in the foothills of the Sierra Nevadas. Hello, Kathy.
Hello, my John.
How are you, darling?
I'm hanging in there.
I was talking to you earlier, and I forget, you know, before, you know, because you jumped into that whole thing with that Australian thing, and then I was going, I didn't get a chance to ask her how she felt, because you don't sound still quite like yourself, my love.
Oh, I don't?
No, you
well,
still
it
a
is
little
12:30.
Bit. I feel like you're still coming in out of that whole experience of you know the horribles that you had and. You know, we're wanting you to be better than you were.
Oh, bless your heart.
You sounded
yeah,
green.
Yeah, that was about Jerry, huh?
You sounded pretty green the other day when I had you on, and I was going, oh,
oh, I was green. I
oh,
was
my
green.
God. Oh, I just knew that. But, oh, man, what a day. I mean, the last week, you know, I've been kind of getting our house in order for getting all the evidence analysis going on, and we've been just really working at getting everything in order and set and what we're going to analyze first. And I made the executive decision as a leader of GRI to go in the most recent case and go backwards. So that's the way we're going to do this. And I have been, the last 2 days, we've been analyzing the drop recorders from the Bierman's investigation out in Lincoln, California. And I got a very disturbing EVP from a male spirit up in the second floor. He says to all of us, I'm going to haunt you. And I'm going, that's great. Stand in line. That was kind of my attitude about the whole thing, but I had to laugh. But we did get some significant EVP activity in the building, and I didn't have time to upload it for this show, but I will put a little bit out there for tomorrow, just before we introduce our guest Kim Vasquez, who is going to be on with us tomorrow. Really neat lady, and she lives not too far from me. I've never met her, but I've had her on once before, and she's an interesting lady who's overcome addiction and all sorts of other things, and has become somebody who does readings with angels. And she developed a relationship with angelic presences. So I thought you might enjoy this show, Kathy. This is right up your alley. And
oh, yeah.
And yeah, she's just a really neat person, and I just totally enjoy it every time we talk together. And we've been emailing back and forth for quite some time. But I'm, she's got a book out that I'm just about halfway through, and I'm going to finish tonight after the show here. But so, you know, be looking for that. But we'll put a couple of EVPs on, some of the better stuff from the Bierman's investigation. And then we're going to be doing the reveal for that, I think about November 4th, 5th, or 6th, somewhere in that time frame. I'm going to meet up, and we'll do a video of that. And I've got a ton of video editing to do, so I've been just getting everything ready for the next, basically, from here on till the end of the year. It's going to be a load of case analysis and then getting reports ready for people and getting this stuff out the door. And Spencer Hughes, he's got a personal situation that's keeping him from doing investigations, so we're going to be basically, him and I are hooking up, and we're going to be doing an awful lot of work together. And we're going to be doing camera technique practice, because we've decided to get our video act in gear. And I've got you know, some ideas for him with the equipment he has, and take what I've got and make it work better and do a little more polished job on our stuff. So, but
I like
also
that rubber band thing.
Yeah, did you like that? I mean, yeah, what we're talking about is on YouTube, there's a rubber band technique for easy panning. If any of you ever do video work and you just want to pan, and you know how you can, you try to take on a tripod and pan a camera, and it always kind of is jerky and sticky. All you have to do is just put a rubber band on the tripod, on the little arm that sticks out, and just wrap it around and just pull. And it keeps the tension very even, and you end up with a really nice pan. It looks like a professional did it, and all it is a rubber band and your cheap tripod that you got, you know, wherever you got it. So, you know, that's the kind of stuff we're looking at, just trying to, you know, build up our professionalism the way we're doing things. But, you know, we've got a really happy client in the Bierman's investigation, a guy named Tony, and I'm trying to remember his last name, Tony Woods. And he had us out there. He's actually the real estate agent on that building. And it's kind of interesting to see real estate personnel, you know, seeing the haunt as a selling point. So, you know, he's totally fascinated, and we're going to be working with him again. And the building owner had many experiences there. So we're going to be going back in there on a follow-up investigation, and we'll definitely include you guys as part of that. I think that may be happening, and if not December, we may get that into January when that happens. But we're trying to kind of hold back on more cases. We're just swimming in evidence, and we got to deal with it. And so I'm kind of going to try to hold that back. But anyway, tonight, you know, it's Soulstream, as always, and we do have, let's see, we've got a small audience tonight. It's a Saturday night, and everybody's out partying, but we got Daniel Adam here. What was his name before? Dan, it's our Dan.
Our disgruntled Dan, yeah.
Disgruntled Dan, there we go. It's not the same without the disgruntled. And Dominica's there. Hi, Dom. And Fire Witch is here. Hi, Joy. Good to see you back here. Hello, my love.
I know. I've missed her myself.
Yeah, she's like the best. And, you know, and I popped her a note and told her she was a beautiful witch. So, yeah. And let's see. We have Christy. And Christy has been talking with me a bit. And good stuff going on. We have guest 4866. Good to see you. So anyway, we're going to be doing you know, a little bit of everything tonight, and if you want to call in, the number is 646-478-0377. We'll do any number of readings, or we'll talk about cases, and if nobody calls in, we're going to do what I want to do.
I have two things to say before you continue on, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I don't mind. You're a co-host. That's your right. That's your imperative. Go for it.
I think our guest could be Gando, which is our Gary over there in Australia, and he has a society. I can't remember the exact name of it, but I know it's something on the lines of Australian Paranormal Society. And all I can say is, with the letter that you wrote, Gary, we will get back to you and let you know. Do you have anything to add for him?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and reveal what I do know of it so far without having seen the full letter. But he was interested in the light technology that I've been looking at doing. And I've already got the first switches and gear I need to actually do the build on this. So this coming Sunday morning, I'm going to be out in the lab, and that's one of the two things I'm going to be working on is the first prototype of that. And I still don't have quite a name for it, but Ghost Box or Ghost Light might be as good as I'm going to get, although that may be trademarked or whatever. So we'll come up with a decent name for it. Maybe we'll call it the Fire Witch Light. I don't know.
That would actually be good.
Yeah, the Fire Witch Light. Let's see, Fire Light, that's it, the Fire Witch Light, named after Fire Witch. But we'll basically, what this device does is it's a way of testing how spirits can actually activate a switch to turn on a light. Because what I've never really understood is why people are using flashlights that, you know, where they take the flashlight and they turn it almost off, and then it's like on the edge of going on and off. And it's really not a very scientific way to do it. It's not a controlled way to do this kind of work. So, you know, I know there's all sorts of different sensors you can use to do this kind of thing. And so I ordered a few different things that look likely to me to be successful. And we'll give it a shot. It's just a simple light circuit, and I'll drill it, put the case together, and have these things basically clip in where they'll be easy to change out. And it's a very simple technology. I have something called a breadboard, which will do the job for this. So the first one will be pretty raw looking. But once I get it figured out how this works and what sensors they do like and what they can work with, then we can actually start producing them in mass. And so I have no idea how it's going to turn out. This is, leading edge technology. You know, even with a simple circuit like this, I mean, you're trying something that, I've seen nobody else do this. So we'll give it a shot. Then we got, all the IR illuminators. I just got the new illuminator from, let me reach over and grab it here. And I was very impressed with this for some of you guys. This is from an outfit called Creepy Hollow. And the website is www.creepyhollowgear.com. And they have these four giant illuminators that tie into a little battery pack, a little 9-volt battery pack on the back. And I gave this thing its first tryout the other day. And, man, this thing is great. It's like $35. Ordered it, and I can actually recreate this on my own with all the components I've already pre-ordered. To build a similar circuit to this for a lot less, but I wanted to see, one that somebody else did just for paranormal work. So that is definitely something that's on the table. So we're going to be really focusing on our builds for the next 2 months and getting set for the 2011 ghost hunting season. We got a lot planned for next year because we're going to be on the road quite a bit with the new truck and all that. So I'm definitely.
And my other one is, what made you say what you said just before the show started? You said, love you. And then you said, love you more. What made you say that? You have never said that before. And then I'll tell you why.
Well, I felt like you might have said, I love you back, and I didn't hear you. So I just decided to say, I love you more, just to see.
You didn't get a feeling of why you said that?
No, I just trusted my instincts. It's part of why I do what I do.
Well, I've never told anyone this, but that's how Tony and I always talk to each other when we said, I love you. And I'd say, I love you more. And you'd say, I love you more.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, sometimes I'm just running on autopilot and stuff like that pops out. And if that was the case, I was unconsciously reading the energy. So it might have been Tony coming through me. Who knows? I just know I just felt inspired to say it. Yeah, that's pretty good. I didn't know that about you. Yeah.
You just floored me. There's a lot of people don't know about me.
You're just an international woman of mystery. You know that?
I don't think so.
James Bond is there. Yes. I know this Kathy Bradshaw. Yes. Indubitably. She's a wonderful woman. No. Chip, chip, cheerio. She serves her drinks shaken, not stirred. Yes. Anyway, but we've just got a lot on the plate. But for tonight, I mean, we've got such a small audience. I don't know if any of you guys want to dial in, but Fire Witch is always good for a dial in. I haven't heard her voice in forever. I miss Joy. I miss talking to Joy.
Too.
I'm laying some real pressure on her right now. So she's like sitting there going, oh God. So I hope she does call in. But if not, we're just going to go forward. Oh, we got another guest popped in. Good to see you. Guest 4866 and 4938. Anyway, we're in the midst of rainstorms on a full moon night. So this is an auspicious night to do some paranormal investigation. Matter of fact, I was just watching before the show, I was watching PZTV on Ustream, and they were investigating. They're a really interesting outfit. I met the two ladies who run that television, internet television group for paranormal investigation. I met them on Hornet here a few months ago, and really neat ladies. I really enjoyed, you know, working with them. And they were investigating a barn tonight with the rain at full tilt. And this is the kind of a night where, with this kind of rain happening and the water and the energy coming down, a lot of stimulation of paranormal activity at this point. So I don't know what we're going to run into tonight when we do a little bit of our work, but, you know, it's definitely the energy. I feel it in the air tonight, and it's definitely there. You know, I was kind of stuck inside all day and really wanted to go out and do something and hunt, but I can't with all this evidence. So it's like sometimes you just got to sit down and go, no. Enough. We got to clear off the pile, and so that's what I did. But we probably have from Bierman's about on the order of probably 150 EVPs so far that we've pulled down. The case that we're going to do right after is me and Spencer are going to be working on the evidence from Preston Castle, and we just got good news. We're still getting this finalized, but we are going to be going back as a four-person team into Preston, and we're going to get access to the third and fourth floors of that, which is very rare. So we are going to be able to go up into some of the holy of holies for that place, which are some of the most haunted sections, with only a few people, a very small team, which is the ideal way to do this and to get into that facility and do our investigations. So we are looking forward to that. And we'll be, you know, giving you guys more information as soon as we know more about that. I just got this information in the last day or two. So Spence, once again, with his mass connections to the world, came through for us. And we're doing great there. But anyway, so go ahead and call in. Oh, I see a caller. God darn, I wasn't paying attention. I'll bet I know who that is. 949, you're on the air.
Yes, John, you know. Hi, Kathy and John.
Hi. Oh, bless your heart.
I love listening to you guys. You guys are so, your voices are so nice. Such good energy. I love it. And it is, I'm feeling it. You know, I was born on a full moon. I'm a lunar, I'm Capricorn with a lunar, I'm a lunar baby. I was born at 11:14 p.m. And the moon is very intense for me because my moon's in Cancer. So it does make me feel really sensitive. And I did make an emotional release tonight and did shed some tears of some stress and some past stuff. And I guess I was hoping that since we're on the topic of this, you know, transformative time or whatever you want to call it, at least for me it feels that way. Do you have any special messages for me? You know, John, I am concerned about my financial security right now, but any messages I would be grateful for.
Well, do you want, how do you want to do this? Do you want, you know, God, I feel like a drive up fast food order place. Yeah. Do you want it medium shipped? Would you like it in a, ITC, you know, on your EVP? Do you have someone in mind that you would like to speak with you?
I like your medium better because I can't really understand that EVP too well.
Okay. Just trying to think of your. So the basic bottom line is your current financial situation is stressed, and you're trying to come up with.
Yeah, it's stressful because our vice president resigned 2 days ago. they've fired 4 people in the last 3 weeks with this company, and they're pressurizing everybody like a pressure cooker, you know, the rest of us that are remaining. And it just doesn't feel right to me, you know. And so I did start putting out resumes, and I'm affirming that I'm going to upgrade to something better and more secure and stable. And I am affirming that I am designed to win.
Oh, I just
realized. We know I'm an actress, but I also have to pay the bills in the meantime until the other stuff kicks in, you know, the show
and
stuff.
I just realized, too, I'm sorry, Audrey, I didn't realize it was you. I was, like, thinking, I had my mind on Joy. It just was like a sudden realization. When I looked at 949, I went, wait a minute, that's like Southern California. Oh, my God, it's Audrey.
Sorry.
Okay. I'm not dealing with a full deck tonight. Yeah, and it's funny because, you know, just to let everybody know, you know, Audrey has been on before, and we've read her before, and you sent me some emails the other day, and I got your thing this morning, you know, which I won't talk about, but bottom line is, you know, we've been talking back and forth. Now, one of the solutions I gave you, which was mediumship, because it was like, I got directed to do this, and I'm going to stick with my guns on this one. But what it was that basically it's to create that poster board. Instead of being a kind of waiting it for it to be handed to you, their direction to you through me was to go forward and put this board together. And this is like a way to get your subconscious involved in the act, and it also draws these things to you. And this is kind of a lesson for everybody out there. And I wish I could be the person that said, ooh, you know, this is like some new thing. It's not. I learned about it from a number of places, but most recently, Cheryl Booth, who is a really good medium out here in California, Northern California. I read one of her books, and she talked about it, and how Louise Hay, you know, just a small name out there, also uses this technique. And it really does work. It's just a matter of how fast, you know, you are trying to get things done. I'm going to still stick with my guns on what I said. I think you're going to go through a couple of smaller jobs to get to the one that you want. And
hoppy, hippity hop.
Yeah, it's going to be, that's the two hop thing I was talking about. And what I mean by that is it's like you're going to get out of this situation. So, you know, by hook or crook, you're getting out of it. But, you know, what I'm seeing is anywhere from 2 to 4 months of work for on your part. But, the question I have for you is, did you go out and do, you know, that thing? Did you grab the paper and did you do the cutouts?
Well, it's interesting that you say that. I realize I have all those already in my book, in this, it's called my dream book. It's like a manifestation book. I already have it already done. It's already done. It's under my bed. I just have to take it out and put it where I can see it because I've already done this before.
Yeah, you see, what you cannot do.
It's the same stuff. It's the same thing that I have all, it's the same stuff. It has never changed in my mind about what's ideal for me. And I did take out a pen and paper last night, and I'm an awesome writer. I'm a tremendous, I'm automatic writing, you know, easily and effortlessly. And I just started writing away in the I am this and I am, you know, I was in the I am presence with my writing. And it made me feel really, really positive, you know, with the writing as well. But I did. I do have all these pictures and collages already.
Did you have one though? The thing is, and this is real important because it's, you know, you've got the book, okay. But if you have a manifestation for this particular job to change, you've got because if you have a lot of different stuff all jumbled together, it won't work so well. And this is one of the things that, you know, was so interesting in, you know, reading what Cheryl Booth had to say about it. And it made a lot of sense that for that immediate need, you need to make this thing big enough. So it's kind of larger than life. So it needs to be a good sized poster board. You know, I mean, you know, you're talking something maybe 2 feet by 1 feet or bigger, preferably bigger. and then to focus it on the one thing that you're wanting right now. That's because your subconscious can't see what happened was Cheryl was telling this story, and I really loved it. She says, oh, I got this idea. I just decided to throw all this stuff together in one board, and nothing happened. And it was like she was going, what happened? And her guides came through and said, well, what did you expect? You know, your subconscious couldn't figure it all out. You know, you've got to split these things up in manageable chunks. So she said, oh, you mean I can make more than one of them but spread them around the house? And they said, that's it. So in your case, you know, for this job situation with the pressure, you know, really, I mean, if it were me, I mean, you've got the book and that's great, but get something up there on the refrigerator would be a great place. Just put that thing up and then use that to get, you know, to basically every time you go to get something out of the fridge, it's sticking in your mind. And there's a magical power. There's something about the subconscious when you, you know, have these kinds of symbols, especially highly visual things. You know, especially symbolizing how you feel. It's the emotion of the need that really drives the thing to you. And the universal need is what's going to bring this job to you. It's not going to be anything other than that. It's what you feel you deserve and you need. And then the universe will bring that.
You know what the key word is, John? And I agree. The key word is freedom. Freedom. Not babysitting, not micromanaged, because it's been driving me nuts the way they treat us.
Well, it's in this particular instance that will. The bottom line is if you see yourself free, you know, just instinct tells me that you're going to be in a smaller group, and that you'll be in something where you've got a lot of leeway to make or break it, but with that comes a lot of risk. So you are going to be, I think, in something that's very interesting, something you've always wanted to do. You're in the broadcast industry, right? You're an actress, and you've also got, have you done production work or anything like that?
I have it in me. I do have it in me to do that. I have written formats of shows that I would like to do that are stored away, yes.
Yeah, I'm just, the sense I have of it is that you've got the skills, the organizational skill set to do something like that. And it's, you know, there's an old famous adage in the computer business, if you don't like what you're in, get a bunch of guys that are rebels together and then go off and start your own business. And then after 3 years, when you get bored of it, sell it and then take the money and go off and do your thing. And just have a great time. That's the deal. When it quits being fun, that's when it's time to get rid of it and move on to the next thing. Because the natural state of being a human being is to have fun. And it should be fun. And if a job ain't fun, it sucks. And that's what you're going through. You're going through a job that, what is it? It sucks. You know?
Because the treat is so terrible. We're just a number and not even human being. You know, it's very stressful. And you know, and I need to stay on this job until I have another position, another salary coming in, though. Did you say, John, something about 2 months? Did you see me with it?
What I'm getting is if you do this thing that and I'm asking, you know, and basically you're asking, you know, I'm the one kind of pushing it on you. But it's if you do this thing and you stick with it and you just have it up, because it's a no-work solution. I mean, this is the easiest thing in the world to do. You just got to do it and stick the thing up there. And don't try to do more than one to start with. This is your litmus test, because I really, you know, want to see what happens with you, because I just get this feeling when this happens, it's going to surprise you. And I'm hoping that it's like I'll get, you know, 6 weeks, 8 weeks from now, all of a sudden I'll get this crazy, you know, crazy message from you. Oh, my God. And that's the thing I think it's going to happen. But, you know, you just need to, trust this, you know, trust this and trust the universe. It's daring to dream for more than you need. Now, I myself am going to make one of these boards for me, because I have a particular thing I want. And, you know, and I've had to try to think of how to articulate this. And the other thing I've got to do is I've got to go find some magazines, because I have none. So I'm going to be going around robbing some magazines from work, and so I could cut out some things that I have visualization for. But the important thing is not so much the writing of a bunch of things, feelings down. It's the actual imagery, because the human brain is built mostly around your vision, and it's highly tied into your, guess what, subconscious. which is the most powerful aspect of your brain. So when you do this thing, you know, and you've got those visual images, which are highly emotive and highly stimulating to you, they're going to bring that to you. Okay, so this is real science coupled with real metaphysics coupled with your guides. And
so, John, here's where the defining to be to get real clear. This is a very important question.
Mm-hmm.
It could go two ways, and this is where my confusion is. I need clarity. It could
okay.
be the board for the now, another sales job, you know, with freedom that's upgrade a step above what this one is. Realizing that my show is going to kick in, the one I told you I did the pilot in Amsterdam on in the spring, am I supposed to go for just the stuff I'm that I want to do in the spring now? That's what I'm confused about. That's where the confusion lies. That's why I don't know what board to do.
I think
I really don't know. Now I'm stuck.
Does that make sense? I keep getting, I hear what you're asking, because what I'm getting out of it right now, just what I'm being told, is that you are around a bunch of intolerant people, as you've been saying, that I think they're going to do something that's going to be really screwy, and that, you know, it could affect you directly in a way that it's not going to be the nicest. But if you're keeping your options open, you know, like I said, hop and a skip, you know, those are the two words I got immediately when I thought about this the other day when you wrote me. And so, you know, that was what I gave you. And it feels like that. It feels like there's going to be kind of this little intermediate side job that's going to be there to kind of, you know, carry you through. And then the next step after that is this next big thing for you. And what I keep getting is there's a gentleman that you've worked with in the past who's going to remember you and call you on this thing. It's separate of your other job, this other one that you're talking about, you know, with the show. If I remember right, you had 200 episodes,
one.
Right?
Right. You talk about something separate from that.
Yeah, this is separate of that. And it's also kind of a neat thing because it's going to be something you really like. That's the thing I get the feeling. I'm really going to enjoy this. But
that's good.
It's something this... A tall man. He's got trying to get a picture of him. He's in his 40s. He's got slightly graying temples. He's got he's a nice guy, and he remembers your work. And something's going to happen with this project, and they're going to want you on it. That's the thing I'm getting, and that's as much as I don't know what it is that you did. I don't know who this guy is you worked with, but this is what I'm getting. So you're going.
Yeah,
it's going to be
kind of
jump and a skip thing to get you where you want to be. Now, the 200 episode doing, that's a long life show. That's a lot of episodes for a show. That's more than most.
It's probably several months, like 9 months or a year or something.
Yeah, to get to that point, to get where that's all up and running?
Right. We'd start shooting in February, but I'm saying it could be for most of the whole of 2011. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just keep getting the feeling that you're going to have this other little side thing that's going to be kind of a nice diversion in some ways. It's you'll be doing two things at once.
Am I going to be doing this job here? Or it sounds like what you said to me. About this job doing something screwy, are they going to try to fire me?
I think that they're completely out of control, and I'm just going to be blunt. They're piss poor management. They're no good at what they do, and they're not very. It's not professional, that's for sure. And I do feel that they're going to be playing people against each other, and I think that they're listening to rumor and innuendo, and they just are operating however they want to, and there's really not a lot that the workers can do about it. You know, it's just the way it is, and that's the best thing that could happen to you in a situation like that is to get out of it. You know, and
I know, but money wise, I'm reliant. I mean, I couldn't afford to be on unemployment. Really, I'm not in a position to do that. So, do you know if they would be how much longer I'd be with this job?
Well, I'm feeling that you have they're going through some, I think they're going through a crisis right now. I think that they're going through a lot of stuff right now, and they're just completely nuts. And so I would say in the next 4 to 5 weeks, you've got definitely key. If it were me, knowing this, you know, and looking at it, I would be hedging my bets and getting side interviews and just keep, you know, and doing this thing with the board.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, I've been putting resumes out since 2 days ago, and I'm ready to jump ship with this ASAP as soon as I get something with a salary enough to pay the bills. I was ready to just quit or work this and hang on to them and play them for a while. You know what I mean? Since I work remote until they hire me.
Yeah, my feeling right now is that you are, you told me about the resume. And remember what I said? I said, you know, they're going to put that in a circular can, everybody who's got one. It's based, you know, based on the resumes are great to have when you take it to the job interview, you know, when you are going there. But first you got to get in the door. And the real way, you know, this is not so much mediumship, it's just good business experience and knowing how this is done. You know, because I work in corporate America, and resumes are great, you know, but it's really who you know. And
you see me getting a job through someone I know then. Is that what you're saying?
What I'm seeing you do is between this visualization technique, which is going to call people to you that you've already had association with, and also call people that you have not associated with but know of you. Out there, and you getting out there and kind of hustling it a bit to do the networking like we talked about, and you mentioned the church thing.
Yeah, I'm going tomorrow.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing talking about. It's going to get you in a position of power. The problem with resumes is when you go out on a job interview and you do this and you throw it and you go, well, please take me. That's not coming from a power place. That's coming from a I'm desperate place. And where you want to be is in the driver's seat saying, I'm so good, you do want me. And, you know, here's what I'm looking for. And, you know, put it out there. And that's an informed position to be in. That's a power position. And you've got, you know, just when I saw you on the Facebook page and looked at some of your photos and some of the shoots you've done and the things that you do, you're a very powerful woman. So, you know, come from that place, reach down deep and pull that out, and that will, that's going to serve you well. You've got the confidence, the drive, you've got the, you know, the techniques down, you know your way around, you're no slouch in the intellectual department, you're smart. So use all those.
The thing that's critical for me right now, John, is just to know, if you could ask your guides, if I jump ship with them, will I be able to jump ship with them first? Before they decide to do anything to me and have something else. That's what I need to know.
What you do right now is do everything you can to stay, you know, to play the little game that they're playing, okay? You go with what the game is. Next thing you do is you do the board, like I said, because that's going to be that's your basically your sounding chime to the universe saying, by the way, I need this. And it's really based on emotive need. And when you do it, kind of put, you know, do it with, reach out for the thing that you really want in your heart of hearts and the thing that you feel that you need. But when you put it out there, when you make this thing, ask for that or whatever is better for me. And the universe may surprise you. So, you know, but get that thing built. Those are the two priorities you have. You know, get the situation as stable as you can, even if it's as crazy as it is. The next is to do this other thing.
It would be like a cover.
Your guys. Yeah. Oh, pardon me?
I mean, if I was going to do it, it would be like CoverGirl magazine. It would be like something, a major spokesperson contract. You know what I mean? That's what I would do. And I'm not sure if that's what you're talking about.
If that's what you want.
Well, yeah, because if I had something like that, it's a huge amount of money, huge, and residuals are huge.
Well, then if that's what you want, you're going to cut out pictures of models. You're going to cut out pictures of the type of work you're going to be doing, the environment you're going to be in, the type of people you'll associate with, and then you'll have a single sentence. This is the hardest part for this thing. You have to come up with a single sentence that says what you want in letters that will cover the top of this thing. You cannot write anything else. One sentence. That's your assignment. You choose to accept it, or we will disavow you. So you really need to look at it that way. Your guides are all for you on this. My guides are telling me, your guides are saying, hey, you know what to do. You just got to do it. And you've got the book. You've taken it. But you took it right to the edge, and you had it in the book, and it was closed away, and your eyesight wasn't seeing it, and it wasn't in your mind. So you're in this position, and it wasn't a conscious thing on your part. It's just, this is the situation. This is where you're at now. Now you've got some information that is being given to you from, both a humanistic and a spiritual level, and some business advice on top of it, which should do the job. It's just a question of intent and what are you going to do with it? But I personally feel that you are going to be successful with this. You just have to try to drag this along as far as you can to burn time until you can get out of this thing on your own terms.
You mean with these people? With these people?
With this job that you're in, try to burn a little time while you're getting this thing lined up, because you're starting a process. This is like planting a seed, and it's this is exactly the way to look at your life. Your life is a garden, and you're always having to weed out bad thoughts and self-limiting thoughts. You're always having to, weed out the, different things in your life. And sometimes it's people. Oh my God. Sometimes it's, limiting attitudes. Sometimes it's just, you've got an old thing that happened to you when you were a kid, and now you got to look at that. It's yet another belief system. But sometimes it's just circumstance, and you got to look at it and go, well, how do I get around this? And, but when you approach those things face on and then look at it from, what does my heart tell me? That's the real treasure every one of us has in us, is this, our heart. And if we can reach down deep and then get that into picture form with a single sentence that we walk by every day with this little simple technique, which is scary simple but really scary powerful, it'll do you a lot of good. And for all the audience out there, this technique works for everybody. It's not just this one reading here. I'm going to do it myself as an experiment on myself, because I want to try this thing and see, just how well it works for me. I've done something similar, so I know it does work, but I did it on a much smaller scale. I'm going to go for something real big. So I'm going for the big time, and that's how you should be thinking, big time, because you got it in to do the work. You got the technology, you got the smarts, you got the looks, you got it all in one package. That's you, and you can do this.
Something I did tonight, I was kind of brave. There was a gentleman named Ben I met at Universal Studios, an awards ceremony a few weeks ago, this guy named Ben. And he is with a top agency, because I needed a new agent. And I emailed him saying, I'm not sure if you remember, I briefly met you. I emailed him on my Facebook, like I email you. And he did say, I'm hoping that Ben would want to possibly represent me, because he seems like he knows quite a few people, and his agency seems to be really, I get a good vibe about it.
Well, then if that's the case, then that may be one of the, you find a picture of this guy on Facebook, and you put that in as part of the deal to attract the situations and people to you. So you really custom making this recipe for what you want the end game to be. The big thing is, just remember, sometimes, you think you want something, be sure you really want it, because you might just get it. So, I have a feeling that's not going to be a problem with you. I think you know exactly what you want, and you've got that, you're comfortable with power. I know that about you already. I mean, that's just, you've got the ability to handle it. And you know how to represent yourself and sell yourself. It's just this one thing is sticking in the way with you, and this stupid job. And you risked a lot to get to Hollywood, right? I mean, you basically, took pulled the chain and went out there.
I nearly went homeless, okay, a few months ago. So that was scarier than where I'm at now, for sure. That was the scariest part of my life. To nearly go homeless and to be going to churches to get food, and to be, you know, at the end of my rope, you know. But now I'm dealing with a different kind of stress with these people and their games. And I kind of, like you said, I kind of want to jump out on the first thing I can get just to tell them to stick it where the sun doesn't shine. You know, when I'm done?
Yeah.
Say, you know, go take a hike. I'm not into that. This isn't how you treat people. Bad karma for you guys. Bad karma. You know, I don't want to be part of it. So, but meanwhile, I have to do a balancing act right now and keep it while I'm interviewing for whatever else comes in. You know?
It sounds really good to walk in and tell a boss who is a complete raving lunatic, you know, to shove the job up his, you know what. Unfortunately, when you have real bills to pay and you're really trying to actually get by.
I got to bite my tongue right now.
Yeah, so now you've got a real challenge ahead of you.
Yeah, here's the hardest part, John, is she's flying in Monday to LAX.
Mm-hmm.
She's spending 2 days with me in the field from Georgia because her office is. See, I'm usually remote. They just try to babysit on the phone, you know, and through emails all the time. They do their jabs through emails and on the phone. So she's flying here Wednesday, you know, and I'm supposed to spend Tuesday and Wednesday with her out in the field.
Yeah.
And so I'm just going to pray that it goes well and take her to some decent accounts, but she'll have to see how it really is out there because not everybody's buying right now. Some are, some aren't. But she'll get to see for herself what's going on. And then after that, I'll be able to take a breath again and breathe again when she gets back on the plane to leave. She's only with me for 2 days.
Well, just my instincts there are just be as careful as you can be. You know, I don't know what business this is. I don't know what they're selling or what they're doing, but the impression I get just of her is she's one thing in person, another thing privately, you know. I mean, one thing publicly, another thing privately. And just be careful. That's the big thing.
One thing I wanted to know, too, I don't think it's appropriate. She befriended me on Facebook. And that's my personal life, and it's been heavy on my mind. I'm thinking that I should remove her from my Facebook. Do you think I should?
Well, you've already approved it, right?
Yeah, she might think that might be bad. She might realize I've caught on to her if I.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's not that would not be a smart thing to do at this point.
I think it wasn't very kosher of her. You know, it wasn't too kosher of her right away after I got hired. She befriended me on Facebook, and she didn't do it to everybody.
Facebook is a wonderful tool. Unfortunately, it also can come back to bite you, and there's an increasing amount of evidence. I'm in IT, so, you know, I see stuff. And, you know, I'm the kind I don't let just people just automatically friend me. I look at them and I think about who I'm letting be my friend. And it's just not a good idea for, you know, that part of your life to become public knowledge with your management. It's just my take on it.
I agree. I regret now. I wish I would have put my foot down and said, no, I have a conflict with this. This is my personal life. I like to keep it separate.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff where you have HR departments looking at your private life, and you know, there's already too much information about us already out there now already. You know, and our past can come back to haunt us. A lot of people will get involved in seriously, you know, hairy conversations with people in threads and things like that, and think it's nothing of it. And 7 years later, it comes back to haunt you because the internet has an incredible memory. So just, you know, it's one of those things that, Facebook, I have a very active profile out there, but I control who gets in, you know, and I really look at it hard when I look at people. And I probably already got too many friends out there, but I've had my share that I look at and I go, who is this person? I don't even know them, you know, and if I don't, it's kind of probably, you know, if I look at who they're friends of mine with. And that kind of thing. But in this case, you've already kind of, you know, let them in. you know, that once that's all terminated with, yeah, you can do that. But you're kind of in a delicate period
block
now.
Block her out. So you think she's really two-faced, huh? She's just friendly to my face, but behind my back, she's
there's no good
else.
Reason the boss should be getting involved in your private life.
I agree. I didn't think that was very
pointed. Yeah, it's not even a mediumistic thing or a spiritual thing. It's just good business sense. It's just, any HR department or any, boss that's kind of going through, if they're a private business owner, if this is the case in this thing, really they're interested in controlling their employees and they have a control issue. So it carries a lot of, it speaks to me volumes about the nature of the business that this person is in. Or part of, and that business is, worried about controlling their sheep, to be blunt. I mean, and that's how they see the people. You kind of gave that right away right out the beginning, but you're exactly right. That's how you're seen. And they don't want you.
Do you think it's going to go with her next week?
I feel it's going to be pretty interesting for you. I think that it'll be a little of both, good and bad. I don't think it's going to be a lot of fun for you. And she's going to demand some things that are practically impossible. And you're just going to have to suck it up and go, I'll do my best. And, in the meanwhile, you're trying to plot your escape.
Is she trying to drive me away? Is that what this is about?
I think she's checking you out quite a bit and is worried about you with your here you are out there and you've got I've looked at pictures of you and you're obviously you have had done modeling for a long time and you've got professional shoots have been done with you, so it's very obvious to her that she's dealing with somebody who's got other aspirations. I mean, if I were to look at it from that view. I mean, that's how I would see it. So,
right. In other words, she's jealous. She's jealous. That's what it is.
That would be the understatement of the year.
When I met her in person the first time, oh my God, I felt such jealousy around her. It wasn't even funny.
You're an exceedingly beautiful woman. You're smart.
I thought she was severely
jealous. You have all
jealous.
These different things going in your favor, and you stand out. It's like the way to look at this would be you are it would be like having Princess Diana come to work, flipping burgers. I mean, that's kind of the way I'm looking at your situation. That's it. And it's not me as a man saying that. It's just that's the way this is. You're way outclassed of what you're doing right now. Okay. I mean, you are far above that level. You shouldn't be where you're at. You should be doing something extraordinary. You have been groomed for this. Your whole life has been around this. You've been pointed in this direction for the last 18 years and, probably more. And you have a natural desire to be there and you're supposed to be there. That's why you're where you're at now. That's why you took the risk. That's why you showed some big cojones getting out there, and you should be doing this. So, and she knows it, and she wants to control your power. And she can't have it. She wants your power, and no, ain't going to happen. So, I'm actually chuckling. I find it humorous because she thinks she can actually snow you. She's probably going to threaten you, but just look at her.
She's
going
to do what?
Huh?
What is she going to do to me?
She's probably going to be, put you in some threatening position, and she's going to say some things that are not going to be nice, and you just have to sit there and take it. The real power.
When she comes out here, she's going to?
I think she's going to put you in a difficult position, yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I think she's going to pop some things out there that are going to shock you. So just be ready. Don't let it hit you off guard.
Do I stand up to her or do I say excuse me or go?
You can never win against management ever. Sorry.
Okay. Like that.
You just sit
John,
there and
go, we have another caller. I'm sorry to cut it short, but we do have someone else waiting on the line.
Okay.
Yep.
we got kind of carried away, I think, huh, John?
What's that?
Thank you. I said we got kind of carried away. I appreciate your time. I know you have somebody else. So this has prepared me. Thank you so much, because now I'll be on guard for this.
Just do this thing I ask you with the poster board. Really do it. And, you know, make it a priority for tomorrow morning, you know, to get your cutouts and do all that. And then, you know, your mission in 2 months is to tell me how this went. And we'll see how it goes. But I just have a good feeling you're going to get where you want to go. So.
Okay, dude. Thank you so much. Bless your heart for taking my
okay,
call.
Okay, bless you too.
Thank you. God bless.
Cool. Okay. She is a sweetheart, and she's just I put the time in on that one because she really needed the fortification on it. She's an extraordinary human being, and she should be doing what she's doing. She's going to make a difference in the world, a really big difference. And you know, the thing is a lot of people are going to know her, you know, and I just think it's the coolest thing in the world to see what she's doing. And but she's putting her money where her mouth is. And a lot of people don't do that. That takes tremendous courage. That's the most courageous thing you can do, is to hang it on the edge and go out there and face that environment. And she'll make it. You know, that's a testament to her character. So anyway, I think we had 337 was the next call.
Yeah, now open it up. Or you want to get it.
I just hit it here. 337, you are on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey.
Hey. Who we got here?
My name is Renee. How you doing?
Hi, Ray. How's it going?
Good.
All right. What can we do?
I am confused.
Oh, God. That's a terrible state to be in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's not confused.
Man.
Like, I know the things that I like, and I know what I want to do.
Yeah.
But it's there's so many things I want to do, and I don't know what comes first.
Oh my goodness! So you've got a stack of priorities, but you don't know which one to pick, right?
Well, that I mean, as far as career aspects go.
Oh boy!
Like I got my hand in. You know, I like to write. I like to write screenplays. I'm big on physical fitness, and I'd like to instruct. You know, it's just a bunch of things, and
all right,
I don't know what I want to do for the rest of my life.
My God, and you're what 20s, 30s?
28.
Okay, so you know, it's funny, I'm 51 years old, and you know, I've been in this business a long time, and I still find myself not sure where I want to go in some things, but I have some idea now. I'm a little further down the path than you are, but you know, one of the things that I've always found is to really look at my heart's desire. You know, I just was on the phone with this wonderful lady, Audrey. You know, she really knew what she wanted, and she struck out and she risked everything to get there. And now she's, you know, riding the crest of the wave, and it, you know, it could go real easily one way or another for her. And, you know, and even if she breaks out on the rocks, she's going to, you know, I know one thing about her. She'll get back up and go back out on the wave and go right back in the same position. That's real courage. That's really wanting to succeed, and she's going to make it. That's where you're at. You're finding out what you need and what you want. There's, you know, this is kind of I'm trying to remember the name of these tests, and this is yet another non-mediumistic thing, but it's actually a very useful tool. I'm trying to remember the name of this, but it's a kind of a test where you can sort out some of the your feelings as to what kind of work you like doing and what you are good at, and what kind of personality you are. And these are standard tests that are out there on the web. And if somebody can throw that out in the chat room who knows these things, please do, because I don't remember the name exactly. But they can kind of help you sort this kind of thing out. You were talking about the writing screenplays and also the physical fitness. You know, have you ever thought of a combination of the two, doing outdoor adventure film type stuff for your writing for television or
yeah,
writing
I,
for
I mean, the current screenplay that I'm writing right now actually is in the adventure category. But I mean, right now I'm not making money off of either one. So, you know, I'm doing kind of like with the previous caller, Audrey, I guess. Is that her name?
Yeah, it's her, yeah, Audrey.
She's doing her side job right now to pay the bills, you know. That's pretty much what I'm doing. The difference between me and her is I have a family to support. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and
I mean,
that,
the money's got to come in first, you know.
Well, you've got to really make it, and you know, yeah. Not for yourself, but for other people, and you can't afford to lose. So, you've got a longer term, you know, process ahead of you because you need to move a little slower than what Audrey's doing. You know, that's number one. The other thing is you know, sorting out your priorities takes some time. You know, you may need a few months just to kind of figure this out. But you know, the sense I get about you is you've got a big dream, but you have multiple dreams. You have to decide which is the biggest dream or how to combine all that into one dream, you know, and that's a hard thing to do. So you need to be, you're at a point right now where you're not sure if I told you to go make a board right now for yourself, just like what I told Audrey, yeah, where you make the you take the paper and you cut out things and you have
a
big goal. You couldn't do that.
No, I mean, well, I could, because I do know which dream takes priority. I mean, obviously, the screenplays, directing, stuff like that. That's the overall dream.
Now, I'm going to point you to a free book that's out there. I think it's let me see if I can find this real quick off Google. It's called Wishcraft, and I think her name is Barb or something. And I really think for you, this is a great, let me see if I can find, yep, Barbara Shear's Wishcraft. It's called www.wishcraft.com, and it's not witchcraft, it's wish, as W-I-S-H. And so it's Wishcraft, and it's a free book in PDF form. You can download it. I actually bought it as a kid. When I was a kid, I was actually, this book was out, and
wow,
it really worked. And it, you know, and I ended up, you know, going from, you know, an entry level computer operator to senior corporate webmaster for the outfit I work for. You know, so I made it. You know, I've gone from the bottom to the top, you know, and hit the top of my category. And now I'm just at, you know, I'm kind of treading water, looking at the next big leap for me into, guess what? I'm interested in media and television and doing paranormal stuff on TV and things like that.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to have to reapply those same principles for me. So, you know, that's the point, you know, where you, because that has a bunch of assignments in it that are going to be tangible things you can do to get where you want to be. And that's a really good title there. I think that would help you a bunch. That's just the instinct I have here. And, you know, get it printed out. And then, do the exercises in it, because it will help you. The other thing is, are you getting some back? And now I'm getting the medium stuff. Is somebody holding you back? Is somebody telling you not to go for this? Are you getting pressure from, you know, is there somebody like really close to you? I'm not sure it's your wife, but I think it's somebody else.
My mother?
is somebody
my mom pushed? My mother's always doubted me. I mean, that could be it. I mean, I think that's a subconscious thing, though, for me, is the way I was, my upbringing. I think that had something to do with that, kind of holds me back.
Is she telling you that when you talk about this and the frustration, is it kind of the case of, oh yeah, that's not going to happen, you need to keep your prior, you know, face down to the ground and,
yep, exactly,
don't listen to that. Yeah, that's
no, I know. I try not to, you know, but it's hard coming from somebody that raised you, you know. And my wife tells me too. She's like, just don't listen to her. Just block it out. And she calls me every day, you know. So
yeah, that's misplaced love for you, and just see it for what it is. I just heard
what?
Something in my house. I've had some. Hang on just a sec.
I heard a dog.
Huh. I hear talking in the background in my home, and I'm not sure if I've got an entity or my other computer is talking. I think my other computer is talking. Anyway, I was just going. I'm here in the studio alone, and also Miss Chi.
Now you're creeping me out. I'm just
God,
kidding.
What's with me? Anyway, yeah, oh, geez. yeah, my computer has decided it's going to speak, and I think it's one of those automated advertisements are coming on, because goddamn, I hate computers sometimes. It's like a pain in the butt. Anyway, we were talking about you overcoming this, and it's basically one of those things where it's such a powerful instinct for you to listen to a parent who you think has your best interest in mind, and she does, but in this area, she's wrong. And you just need to trust your wife, listen to your wife, use your wife, lean on her. She's your partner. She's the one you listen to. Your mother is great, you know, good, great woman, loves you to death. But on this one area, probably just work around that. It's like I have a father who looked at me when I went into paranormal work and thought I was out of my mind, and still does. And it's so funny because after 6 years of doing this, my mother, I went to step out here to come down to the studio to do the show tonight, and she says, "You got to hear what your father just did." And I went, "What?" And she goes, "He came up to me and says, he really is serious about this, isn't he?" And it's like, after all this time and thousands of dollars and two radio studios and all the missions I've been on, he finally realizes I'm serious, you know, yeah. And that I believe this stuff. And I do, because I've seen too much. But in your case, you know what you're reaching out for is larger than yourself. This is the future of not only you but your family. But to be a better man and to be a better human being, you have to reach way down deep. Just as, you know, as Audrey is a better woman for what she's doing, you're going to be a better man for taking this, you know, and starting small and taking the first step. You know, and the first step for you is to, you know, yeah, even if the witchcraft book doesn't do it for you and you decide this isn't the right thing for you, this at least points you to start thinking about what you do need. But I feel, just give me some trust on this one with the witchcraft book, because I think it'll give you kind of a foundation that you need.
I typed it in Google right now. A bunch of stuff came up here. Do you know exactly, like, who's the author?
Her name is Barbara Shear, B-A-R-B-A-R-A, and it's S-H-E-R, and is her last name. So just type Shear and then Wishcraft, S-H-E-R. And then it's www.wishcraft.com is where this is at. So you'll be able to download that. And I'm just going to do something real quick. I'll be right back. Kathy, can you hem and haw for me while I turn off this bloody computer that's talking in the back of me?
I sure will.
Okay, I'll be right
and
back.
And Demonhall, I'll do a shout-out. How about that? We have our After Dark Radio, our Aunt Thea, who has a fantastic show every Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have our Amethyst, and we also have BTR Motated on, and our Cindy's Mountain, and our Daniel Adam, who is also our Disgruntled Dan that we always just love to pieces. And we have our other love, our Domenico Amore, our Dom, and Jack. We love the pieces, too. And we also have our Florida Christy, who her sister's in here. And her sister is Mel, I do believe. And she's calling herself Florida Mel Maloney and going back to Cali. And we have two guests in Kaleidoscope and Seeking Spirit and Skywriter, who does write and paint. Oh my goodness, the paintings, I have it on my page or on Kathy Sits and Echoes, and they're beautiful. And our Solana, and another guest just popped in, so welcome everyone. And Solana has a big, beautiful show as well, and very busy lady. Busy.
Yeah, and I'm back, and it turned. You know what it was? It was I was watching Ustream TV. I didn't know this about them. They will. I put the show on hold, and just assumed it would just stay there. The page refreshed and started playing their investigation that my friends over at this group who are investigating right now in the rain, their live investigation came up. So it started on its own. It was like, God, that you know, you got your back turned, and you know, suddenly somebody's speaking to you in your house. It's like, not good. But anyway, getting back to our and what is your name, caller?
Renee.
Renee?
Renee.
Okay, Renee. So you found the website, right?
Yeah, I got it.
Witchcraft?
Yeah.
Okay, so you know, my advice to you is get that, and you know, that's a good starting point. But the thing I'm getting, you know, from a spiritual standpoint is you really want to create things. I mean, and knowing that about you, just you know, because you like writing and you like doing all this stuff. The outdoor part is, you know, again, very important to you. But you are, you've been holding yourself back from this too, beyond even what your mother's thing is. There's a little bit of fear involved in this for you. And so your guides are proud of the fact that you're wanting to do this. You're not giving up on it, but you've got to overcome this. You know, there's a fear there that, and fear is you know, it can immobilize you. You know, and so what you have is this common disease. You know, that hits all of us. You know, it's this little editor in your mind is popping forward and telling you can't because you've got all these things. And there's just no good way around it. You've got to overcome that, and that's the key that's holding you back is this doubt mechanism that's so ingrained into us because
that's
we got
so funny that
such
you
a
say that, but
culture.
I think from holding myself back, I think I find other things to do to hold myself
that's
back from it.
Yeah,
to fill that void, you know.
If you were able to get the priorities down, then you'll graduate to the point where you can do the board that I'm talking about. But you know you've got a little a few months of work to do, and not only that, you can start setting into motion some things that'll attract the right people to you. One of the things that is being said to me is immersive for you, and the immersive meaning if you're going to be serious about doing this kind of work. Be around the people doing the physical stuff, be around the people doing the writing and the screenplay stuff, and expose yourself to these people. You need to develop the social and networking contacts to have all that in place for you to get you going. You know, and then lean on your wife, because she's going to be more of a partner to you than you ever believed possible, and she's really good for you. Okay? I mean, she believes in you. You know, and you know that. So she's got your interest in there too. She's willing to go through Hell's Acre to get this thing, so that the whole family can benefit. Because, if you put yourself first, you can put the family even more first. It's kind of it sounds odd to say that.
It goes hand in hand.
That's it. And if you are, as a man, I mean, man to man, me talking to you, intrinsically that where men come from, it's as if you got that ability to pull yourself up by your bootstraps this way, it magnifies an incredible amount around the people around you, and you inspire them. And it brings back such satisfaction to you and to your soul. It's a little different in women because they network so much more easily than men do. And they've got actually a more powerful connection with the cooperation thing. Men like
especially
to do it
now today.
Sometimes they got a problem because they don't like to let other people help them. And that's where you need it. But once you get enough where you've got that network behind you and you are getting some cooperation, you can stand a bit on your own and say, yeah, I had the gumption to do it. And it's just that we come from a different place, but we're all after the same end, man or woman. But we just have our slightly different ways of doing it. You, in your case, I just feel you've got the drive. You just have had the fear, and that's something you can overcome. You need the tools, and the tools are right before you. So I personally see you in 6 months doing some screenwriting. In a way that you'll actually do something really interesting. I feel that you'll do screenwriting, but you need to start small and do something that you can actually get your success in, and then you'll be able to go forward and make a life of it. It'll start in small bits, and the next thing you know, you're going to look up in 5 years and go, "What the hell happened? How did I end up here? I'm doing some really cool stuff." And I mean, I didn't know that I was successful until I looked back, all the years ago when I was living on a $18,000 a year paycheck, and I'm doing very well for myself now. And I look at it and I go, how did I get here? Wow, what a ride this has been, And you just don't realize it when you're on the road until you stop at a curve and you look back on where you've been and what you've walked and you go, oh my goodness, what a life this has been, what fun it's been. So, you know, and there's people here in the audience. I mean, Anthea is somebody I really look up to. I watch Anthea. And she's an accomplished author, has a great book out there. I'm reading that book. She's been a police officer. She's done extraordinary things and is a show host out here and has a great show out here. I'm just picking her out of the mix because I saw the cat.
Mm-hmm.
But if she were to stop and look back at her life, it's been an extraordinary journey. And that's the kind of thing you want. You also need a role model and you need a mentor. That's what they're telling me. You need a mentor big time. You need someone an older person who's going to be around, who's been down the road, that's going to walk with you. So when you get your priorities straight, you go find yourself that mentor. And they're going to put you through your paces, trust me, because I'm a mentor to a bunch of young people myself. And sometimes they come to me and I want to scream sometimes, and I'll say stuff to them and they walk away dejected, and then they do what I say. And then they come back and go, oh, you were right. And I'm going, yeah, I was right. I made that mistake 28 years ago. So.
And John, we have a couple of more callers.
Okay.
Sure.
That's fine.
Yep. So, you know, Renee, you're going to do fine. My prediction for you, final deal, 6 months, you're going to be doing some screenplay work. You're going to be in a far different position in 6 months. What I'd like you to do today is write down how you feel about what you are doing now. Literally, go do this right after the show's over. You write it down on a page and hand it to your wife, who will keep it because you lose things. So put it, give it to her and put it in a book where you're going to, you know, and then put something out 6 months from now to open this and see where you're at. And then you get to write down where you're at 6 months from now. And then you come back and tell us how you did.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, man.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
All right.
See, my God, the show is going great tonight. We're going gangbusters, hey? I'm having fun, Kathy.
I am too.
Yeah, we're dragging them in, man. Let's see, which one was first? 200? Yeah, it looks like a 200. We got
610 was first.
Okay, we'll go with 610. So, Roger, 610. Man. 610, come in. You've reached us.
Hey. Hi, Kathy. Hi, John. This is Gina. Gina.
Hi,
Gina.
Doing good.
I haven't talked to you in a while. Yeah, I heard a previous caller about needing someone to mentor him, and I couldn't get into the chat room. So it's I do have someone. Her name is Catherine Ann Jones, and she is the author of Touched by an Angel series on television, and she did Hollywood and Broadway, and she can be reached at wayofstory.com.
Oh, is this for Audrey?
Both. I've been listening in because I couldn't get into the show via the computer.
But
both your callers were writers, right? Needing a...
Yeah,
and my friend Catherine Ann Jones does that. She has a whole series of, well, you know, I don't know if you know about the Touch by an Angel television series, and she did movies for, you know, kind of like small-time television movies as well, and you know, but she does Hollywood, and she worked at one time in Broadway shows. So I thought it would be interesting. You know, she does plays. Basically, screenwriting and playwriting is her forte. But she does workshops called Way of Story, and it's very affordable also to check in with her. And the website is wayofstory.com.
Oh, Ray of Story, RAYOF Story.
No, like WAY. Way of Story.
I'm sorry.
Way of Story. And
Catherine
Ann Jones is her name.
Okay, I've grabbed that, and she's got nice eyes.
What was that?
I just said she has nice eyes. You look at her; she's a real friendly person. Just looking at her, because her picture popped right up on the website. I just posted that in the chat room for everybody.
Beautiful. Yeah, because I'm working on getting her also to conduct her workshop at sea at World Tours and Cruises, And hopefully we can get that going too. But if the people wanted a mentor, she's beautiful. She's she works with the soul and art of writing. Oh, actually, the soul and craft of writing. So it's they might enjoy her. I mean, I really enjoyed you know, being with her, because then from that I learned how to do those show descriptions I do on radio. I mean, you would think, you know, radio, from radio to story storytelling, but hey, you know, that's, they go together, right?
Yeah, and I'm just looking at her stuff. She's quite accomplished. I mean, there's a lot here. Definitely recommend it. So yeah, to our two guests out there and those interested in writing and as a mentor, yeah, good advice here.
She's very soulful and she's beautiful, beautiful soul, you know. And you just feel so good to be learning from her. And she tells you as it is too. And because she was an actress, so she gives you, you know, if you're into character, if you're into story writing as far as novels go, then she goes into the character building, and it's really fun to learn from her and then read her stuff too. But she's mostly playwriting and screenwriting, and I thought that your previous guests were more into that.
Yeah, in fact, I'm looking here, and she even has an online course here.
It's
on the front page here, and she's got the she's got this way of writing a story, way of story writing course, and all this kind of thing. And it's like it's actually not that bad at all. It's really reasonable.
Exactly.
$39.
She crossings, and she also goes to the Omega, and she's in Ojai, California. So your friend in California they're right there in the same area, right?
Yeah, I think she's a little further into Hollywood, but Ojai ain't that far away. I mean, that's within easy driving distance. But yeah, this is all online, and it looks pretty good. So she's got a good going deal here, and looks like a real organized lady. The Way of Tuscany, June 2011, Heal Yourself with Writing. Online
that
course.
Would be fun. Yes, that would be fun. And the thing too is, we haven't really figured out when she would be on a cruise to do a workshop at Sea with World Tours and Cruises. But it would be really fun to have her. Now she also does that online course, which is very, very affordable at dailyom.com. For people who don't know that site, it has wonderful classes that comes into your inbox, and you know, the affordability is beautiful for this time around for people.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
Sure. Yeah, it was very timely.
Okay. Well, we've got that bookmarked here for ourselves, because I am a writer, and I'm going through my own little fun with my novel. So I'll remember this. It could help me too. So you help me.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Okay, well, I'll let you go. So you got caller. And Kathy, thank you. And John, we'll talk to you, and we'll have another chat on Facebook.
Okay.
Oh, I love you, my Gina.
Okay. See you later, Gina.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Let's see. We've got 200, and boy, we got a full chat room. I mean, the place is cooking tonight. So we're going to go ahead and hit 200 here, and I think that's a Skype caller.
Hi.
Hi, 200. How are you?
Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, Columbus, Ohio. Okay, that makes more sense. Who we got here?
Richard.
Oh, hi, Richard. What can we do for you?
Okay. I had it for a sudden. Oh, yes. Okay, I remember. Do you help people with addictions?
I'll tell you what. I have somebody in mind who can help you with that. We do readings on the air, and sometimes I feel like a counselor sometimes. But I'm going to have a woman on named Kim Vasquez tomorrow on our show, and she is. If there's anybody I would ever know that could do help with addiction, it's this lady, and she has written a really interesting couple of books about the topic. went through drug and alcohol addiction, and is just one of the most amazing human beings I've ever met. And she is somebody I would really refer you to. It's Kim Vasquez. If I can give you the website here, I'm going to pull that up for you and recommend
okay.
a couple of things for you, because she is just an extraordinary person. And I had her name wrong, and she was so delightful about it. She was like, "Oh, John, you didn't get my name quite right. You KimVasquez.com." And let me see if that gets us to it. I'm looking right now, and my poor Firefox is so slow right now. There it is.
Well,
yeah, transform. Yeah, it's Kim, KimVasquez.com. I'm going to go ahead and post it now. And if you're dealing with an addiction issue or have questions on it, she's got her books. The one that I interviewed her on the first time was called Living in the Rearview Mirror. And she covers from her early life right on through to the current day what she's been through. And she's lucky to even be here. So I sense that with you, that, you know, whatever this is that you're going through, you're needing somebody like this. It's somebody who's been through it, can speak to somebody about it, you know, knowledgeably. And I've never had addiction in the, you know, other than addiction to love, I guess. but I mean, in this case, you know, it's a big thing for you, you know, and you really need somebody like that, and that's who I would point you to. You still with me?
Yeah, sorry about that. Also, I don't know if you could give me a prediction. Like, I'm about to start embark on a job hunt, and I wonder if you could tell me how that's going to go for me.
Number one, you know, it's been interesting tonight with jobs, because it's been such an employment night with this show, and a lot of people are going through it. Number one, I'm going to briefly step back. Is this addiction thing something you're going through currently? Because it's tied together.
I'm sorry, are you referring if the addiction is tied to the job hunt?
Is addiction something in your life right now? Is it directly affecting you?
Oh, yes, it's about me, the addiction, yes,
okay.
It is.
Okay, that's going to definitely affect then your current employment prospects. Okay, that's a big thing for you, you know, because, you know, for one, the job hunt is... The mindset at work, and especially whatever work you want to do, they're inextricably tied together. You know, you can't get away from it. You know, one is going to affect the other. You may think you're getting away with it, but to deal with it with the priorities, you know, first things first is to get you, you know, where this is no longer a problem in your life. You know, that's a big, big deal. So, I really recommend you to Kim on this one. But for the job hunt, you've got a year of work ahead of you, pal. So I hate to break it to you. I mean, you're going to get a job, whether it's the one you want. I don't think that's – I'm not sure that's the kind of work you're going to want to do. You know, it's – you really got to overcome this thing. It's a stumbling block for you, and it's going to be one for you, whether you realize it or not. And you may be covering it up, you know. You know, to yourself, but I mean, you brought it out in the open right off the bat, which is a big thing for you to do that, talking about it. Now, I mean, can I ask what it is the addiction is? I mean, what is it? What is this thing that you're on, you know, that you have?
Well, that's why, you know, when you mentioned that it's going to directly affect my job hunt, you know, I'm not sure I agree, because the addiction is not along the lines of you know, like drugs or alcohol, which I thought is maybe what you might be thinking. But I have a gambling problem.
It's as bad as gambling is the same thing as the other two. Sorry.
Oh, or it's probably worse.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's actually worse.
I honestly. I actually don't think that alcohol or drugs would be as expensive as gambling is.
It's way worse. I've actually knew somebody very close to me who had a gambling addiction, and it affected everybody. It's inextricably linked to your current situation. You know, that's what I was getting, and it is going to affect your job. Number one, you cannot hide that kind of financial loss, especially when in a world where it's so easy to pull up all the information about anybody at the drop of a pen. That cannot be hidden. You know, so you're eventually going to have to pay the piper on this. And how long has this been a problem for you? Is this something that just recently cropped up in the last, you know, say, 10 years? Or has this been a lifetime thing?
Oh, okay. Well, when you said recently, I was going to say no, not recently, but the last 10 years. And yeah, that was 10 years. Would be actually more specifically within the last 5.
Have you had a heart bypass?
No, I have not.
Do you have any sort of major health trouble that you've had a major surgery in the last 10 years?
No, not in the last 10 years, but in the last 15.
In that last 15, that surgery was along the lines of what? What kind of surgery was it? I have very specific reasons for asking that.
Yes, 15 years ago, I had a surgery to remove an infection. I mean, they had to break my skull open and remove an infection. And that's all I really know. I don't know
too much
what exactly they... Right, I don't know the medical details of what they did, but I know that I had seizures, and whatever it is that they did, they fixed me.
Okay, that explains a lot right now. When it comes to brain injury and people with severe brain trauma, this is a kind of a thing that I've watched someone very close to me go through an awful lot of pain because of this same thing. This was through no fault of his own. You know, he had a heart bypass surgery, which is just one of the ways this can happen. But you had another of the ways this can happen, that it affects certain parts of the brain that can actually create these problems with gambling. And it's a very common issue. As a matter of fact, I mean, most gamblers, if you were to take, the 60-70% of them, are going to end up having a history with a medical thing. Where this crops up because they can't help it. It is actually a physical manifestation of this injury that you've had, whether that be from a surgery, in which part of it was that, part of it was the biochemical thing that happened to you. But the other thing is even the heart bypass stuff. The old heart bypass machines created incredible pressures and created all sorts of problems for people. They solved the immediate problem and created a much longer-term problem. And that's something that's been learned more of as we've gone along, and it's changing the way we do surgeries. But in your particular case, 15 years ago, you had this surgery, and it took your brain this long to manifest these things that have happened. What you need, my friend, is to go see a qualified physician who does specialize in brain injury of this type and deals with gambling cases, because it will be treatable. You know, you can get treatment for that, and it's a big thing for you. You really need to deal with this because the future employment prospects tie in after that. I can't even give you a number, and I'm getting real power loss. I may lose the show here briefly because we're having a hell of a storm. So Kathy, if I drop off, you know, can you take over? Because I am
the best I can.
Okay, it's coming back. My power was browning out, and I was going, "Oh my God, I'm gonna lose this poor guy. He needs help." But
we do have two other callers waiting on. We have 20 minutes left.
Yeah, I got 26 minutes left, but my advice to you is, above all else, the employment thing is great, but what you need really right now, my friend, is somebody who can understand this, because and I'm glad you did come on, because it's something I did know something about, but you really are being led to go to the right doctor. The right people can help you with this. This is a big thing. I mean, and it took a lot of guts for you to come out and call and talk about it, you know, and I commend you.
Well, thank you for answering my question. I mean, I did want to ask you briefly, explain the relation, how having a gambling problem affects the hunt.
The job hunt, in terms of corporate America, you know, if you take a look at HR organizations in their in the way they operate now, they're going to do a pretty extensive investigation of your background and look at you, and some of that stuff's just impossible to hide. So it's one way or another, it's going to come out. And, you know, I don't know what kind of work you're going into, but what I can tell you is this, you know, your priorities are pretty clear. You know, you've got to get the ball rolling on this thing first, and you can get a job. You know, there's no doubt you can probably find a job, maybe not the one you like, but I think you can make your life a lot better and open up more options for yourself if you tackle this one first. So, you know, that's my advice to you, my friend. So, yeah, but
okay.
Good luck to you.
I mean, thank you. I mean, one way I can see that would have affected directly is because nowadays they do pull up your credit report, don't they?
That's exactly right. Yeah, the credit report's going to speak volumes. And then if they start going into other means, and believe me, there are plenty of other means to find out your financial history. That stuff starts showing up, and that'll set off red alarms, and they'll be saying, this guy's got a problem. You're better off to be driving the boat than having the boat driven for you. And that's what I'm saying to you is if you tackle this and you get the kind of medicines you need, which usually would be like a dopamine type medicine, and there's some other new ones out there that will deal with this. This will get this stopped, you know, but you absolutely positively need to get in to be seen. And the guides are saying that, you know, my guides are saying that, your guides are saying that, and they're using me to give you the message. So you really need that, my friend. Yeah, big time.
Thank you very much.
Okay, go get them, man. Good luck to you, you know, and everybody will say prayers for you. You really need it.
I appreciate that. Wow, okay. All right, I'll let you get to the next.
Okay, take care, friend.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. See,
and we have a 727 next.
Okay, I am going to grab 727. 727, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Melanie, and I'm in Florida.
Melanie.
Hi.
We love Florida.
Oh, it's getting some nice cool weather right now.
Yep. So what can I do for you, Melanie?
My mother-in-law passed a few years ago, about 2 or 3, and recently I've really been trying to get in touch with her spirit, and I know tonight when I was trying to focus and get in touch with her, I was seeing a light, and I was just kind of speaking with her. And I'm not sure what the light was that I was seeing. And it really didn't have a shape or a figure to it. But then there were like little things shooting off of it. And I don't know if they were like little butterflies. They just made me think of butterflies when I saw them. But my question is, how can I better help myself to be able to get in contact with her?
Well, number one, you're already doing it. The fact that she would manifest and you actually physically see with your own eyes, that's amazing, you know, for one. Number two, that's an extremely common way to see a spirit, is to see just a light and to see, you know, little manifestations. And they kind of have their own individual signature, if you will. You know, when we see them in paranormal investigation out in the field, we'll get different colors, different behaviors, different light patterns. Sometimes they'll manifest, part of a body. This person is doing it and it's a she, right? It's
yeah.
A woman. I'm going to just, I hate it when they do this to me because I got to say this name. I'm getting memes. Do you know a Debbie by any chance? Debbie. Is there a Debbie that's around you? I'm getting a Debbie. It's definitely a D-E name, and I got Debbie. Okay? Is
well,
there a Debbie?
My husband's name starts with a D-E.
Oh, really? Was
yeah.
she close to him? Was she close to him in some way?
That's her son, yes. Yeah.
That's her son. Okay. All right. So thank God. I mean, I got the name wrong, but I was on the right track. So, you know, mm-hmm. you were tied into the right person here then. So, and what is her name, since I didn't get that? But what is her name?
Her name was Lucy.
Lucy? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she has come through for you, and you actually were in wide awake mode. You were looking right at her, right? You looked at it, and you saw this light moving around, right?
Right. Right, okay. I was just looking at her.
And how long has she been passed? Is it like less than 5 years?
Oh, yeah, about 2, maybe 3.
Okay, and is that, you know, when you started visualizing yourself talking to her, that was shortly before, you know, in a reasonable time frame, that then she suddenly came through and you, what you believe to be her?
That was tonight, about an hour or so ago, maybe 2 hours
wow.
ago.
That's pretty damn good. Most people wait months. What I would say is you did darn good, and it's something you should continue doing. One thing
but
you can do.
But it's not the first time I've tried. I've been trying. It's just tonight I saw that
okay,
thing
so
again.
Okay, so you've been trying for a while, but have you been kind of stepping it up a bit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. That's kind of what I was getting at, is you've been pushing it a little harder. Now, there's a way you can do this that can even make it more powerful for her. Spirits, you know, on the other side, you know, they may be spirits. They may not have a body, but they're still just as human as you and I are right now on this side of the flesh and blood. One thing that they still have somewhat of a vanity, but it actually touches them that you would do this. You actually write out an invitation to her, a formal invitation on letterhead to her, and put it out on your dresser for her to see. Inviting her to either appear to you, either in dream form, or if she can manifest for you in some way that you can recognize it's her, but you do that. And what that will do is it gives her total permission to come in. The other thing is it puts her, it will look at, you know, it will show her how much you care, that you love her enough to do that. And it's a very sensitive way to deal with something like this, because you're putting it in written form, and you know now there's no mistaking it. You put it in black and white, and she's going to see this. She's been around, and it's absolutely a. I read this only recently, and I loved it. You know, because I've been ever since I got my Kindle, I've been reading all these great books with all this good stuff. But that is a really good technique. And it's something that will definitely touch her heart. You know, and she already loves you, but it's just going to blow her mind. And she's going to go, wow, I'm going to make the extra effort. And the fact that she manifested for you tonight, I mean, that's a lot of love to do that, you know. And it was her. I mean, she's around. And she's been around. That's the thing. And she's probably been trying to get your attention for a long time with other symbols. But it took a while for her to manifest enough energy, especially, you know, having been only gone a few years. It takes time for them, you know, and to get to where they're comfortable with all these things and learning how to work the energy and do all that. You can make it a little bit easier with a dream, you know, but write it out. And I would be surprised that you don't get results pretty quickly, you know, once you do that. But I really think that will help you a bunch, you know, hon.
But I won't see her face then. I just will keep seeing this
big white
shadow.
Yeah, she's appeared to you as much as she can do it with the power she has. She may be able to manifest more, especially try harder to do it if you do this soul technique. But the other thing is if you manifest her with dreams, she'll look as real as you and I right now, and she'll, you know, you'll be able to talk to her and you'll remember the dream, and it's really cool. The big thing for you to do is to remember to write the dream down as soon as you wake up, because our brains are constructed, our physical, you know, minds are constructed in a way that is that kind of puts us at a disadvantage with those. So you need to, as soon as you wake up, either put it on a voice recorder and you know, record what you experienced immediately before you lose it, because that's a big thing. You know, so that's the easiest way they can do it. The other is they come on shows like here, or you can do it for yourself with if you got the technology and the tools, you can do things with EVP, you know, but that's probably not too easy for you to do right off the bat. It takes some technique and time to learn. But they can manifest for you, but it's going to take her some energy to do that. And, you know, to me, the fact that she went this far should speak volumes to you. Because, you know, I mean, if you haven't had a haunt in the house, you know, which I don't think you have, and now you have this light coming around and throwing off little energies and things like that, that's pretty cool. You know, and you can, you know what you could do, if you have a voice recorder, and if she's willing to come back and do that again, throw the recorder on the minute you see it, and then play it back, and you may be surprised. You may get her voice coming through on the voice recorder. You know, so that's just a thought. But honestly, do the written invitation that I'm talking about, and I think what you'll be surprised is she will be very touched at that, and she'll go get help from a bunch of people from the other side to maybe help her manifest a little more in the right way for you, which will help you. You're wanting to see that she's okay, and she's showing herself to you. She's made it clear she's okay. You know, so you're in good shape, hon.
Okay.
You did great.
You've all right, done great.
Okay.
All right, great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye now. Okay,
our next caller is 818.
Got it. Got him in there. Whoop. Darn it. Nope. The computers are funny. Here we go, 818. Hello, 818.
Hi.
Who we got?
It's Desiree calling from California.
Well, hi, Desiree in California. I'm over here in Northern California.
Okay, well, you've had the storms just like we have been.
Yep, I've been sitting here with watching the power do strange things, so I'm glad we still have a show to work with. But what can I do for you, Desiree?
Okay, my question is that I had written a script to the industry, and I did get a nice email back from a agent, and I'd like to know if anything's going to come of it. She had said that my script had been read. It said very nice story. She had some critiquing for me to do about it, and that was that. So I was wondering if you could pick up on anything, if she will go ahead and represent me if I go ahead and do the homework.
If somebody professionally takes the time to give you the critique and tell you what you need to do that, I would do that, even if it doesn't turn out to be anything. Number one, they've given you a big gift in the fact that they're telling you what you need to do to succeed. So that's number one. You know, number two observation is they're testing you, and you're being tested to see that you can actually do the work, that you can take the critique and manifest that into something and be successful. This is showing that they can work with you, you know, that you can work with them and they can work with you. Okay, so you're being is this the first time you really put one of these together and you're trying your first time out? I mean, is that kind of what I'm hearing here?
Yes, that's what you're hearing. That I did,
okay,
you know, write it, and then I decided, okay, I'm going to send it out and see if I get any feedback.
Now, have you been through training and classes and done all the you know, the preliminary work when you do that? I mean, have you gone through all the steps that, you know, of schooling and being around other people writing scripts and, you know, and you're in a community and all that kind of thing?
Yes, I have a certificate in screenwriting.
Okay, good. Then you're earning your chops, you know, and that's the thing that I get here is this person was being pretty genuine with you. I don't get any you know, trying to give you the bums rush thing. Do what they say. You know, trust what they're telling you to be the truth, and give them the chance to work with you. And if that, what I would say is this: if that doesn't work, then you've already gotten the gift you needed, and you need to shop it around. You know, you need to take it. And if it were me, I would be shopping at other places. And if you get two or more agents start telling you the same story, you know that you're getting a pretty darn good, you know, standard industry view on it. But the fact that somebody would tell you, here's the things you need to correct, that's pretty darn good. That means they read it. You
right,
know,
and I did send out like 100 query letters at the same time to do that,
what?
You know, with my log line.
So this was the one that responded, right?
Yeah, this is the one that responded.
Well, then you've got a gift back because that's an incredibly cutthroat business to be in, and to be doing that takes a lot of courage. Just anybody in the entertainment industry and broadcast is just my hat's off to them because it takes big ones to get out there, and you've got brass ones for doing it. So a tip of the hat to you. It's just you're going to have failure. And things are, not everything's going to work. You're going to, you set your soul on something and you think it's great. And then someone else is going to say, no, it's not going to sell.
Right.
You just believe in yourself enough to do, keep going. And if it doesn't sell right now, you can always put it aside and wait 5 years or 3 years or whatever, and then go shop it again and maybe make a few twists on it. In the writing craft, that's the way it is. I mean, you're going to have a lot of these things, pigeonholed on a shelf. So my feeling,
right.
In short answer to you is I really think you're going to be able to sell it, but you need to make the changes that you need to and work with this person. Really listen to them. And I think they're going to open your eyes. So, I think it's serious. I think you're in good shape.
Okay. And then I had one last question for you.
Okay.
I've been in a relationship with someone for about 3 or 4 months, and how do you say that whenever you're around them that your energy starts to plummet? And so I'm trying to figure out how to it takes me like 2 or 3 days to get myself back to where I was again. And is that psychic attack kind of in a way?
Is that what?
Like psychic attack that's happening with me that my
there are it's interesting stuff when you get into this that's a very real possibility, and there's good books on psychic attack that talk about that. There are people who will feed off your energy, and many of them did not know they're doing that. And one of the things that you do when you start noticing that with particular individuals, you pretty much try to stay away from them. it's their thing to deal with. They've got to learn, and they'll go on. There's people I will just not associate with in my workplace, believe it or not, that I'm around them and I just can see that. And I'm not going to name names, but it's just you get around them and you walk away, you feel like you've been put through the washing machine, and it's not a good thing for you. So absolutely, that stuff is real. I don't think it's so much a psychic attack in your case as it's just the way the person is, and they are lacking in a certain energy, and they find that people who are vivacious and have creative skills, as you have an excess of that, and they will drain you. Literally, they will drain you, and it's a very real physical phenomena because we're electromagnetic beings, and we emanate certain things. And when it's lacking in another person, and someone like yourself with an excess of that, they will drain you away. And then you're going to be walking around going, why do I feel like crap? Well, you just got hit. And that's real. So, very much so. And just my advice to you is just find a way to limit the contact to bare minimum, absolutely what you need to around them. Otherwise, don't see them. It's as simple as that. And go read up on the phenomena. You'll find out a lot more than I've told you, but it is very real. Read some books by not Doreen Virtue, Dion Fortune. Dion Fortune talks about this in a number of her books, and I'm trying to remember the strain. Dion Fortune, D-I-O-N Fortune, like as in making a fortune. And you're going to look for a title of a book called Dr. Taverner. And I don't remember the first part of it, but the name Dr. Taverner. Just Google that, and you'll find a PDF of the book. And it talks about vampirism. And this is a form of vampire, where the discussions of vampires comes from. So, yes, very real. So, but we got 6 minutes remaining, and we got to get one more through. So,
thank you so much.
Okay, take care.
And I appreciate it, and I'll let you know what's going on.
Okay, come back with us. We'll listen.
Okay.
See you
all later. Right. Bye-bye. Good night.
Bye. Good night. And we'll get
and
the
we
final.
Have 276.
Okay, we're getting them in tonight. Boy, this is a record tonight. 276. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call. I'm so glad I was able to get in the last minute.
Yeah.
My name is Amy. And I'm a psychic medium, actually, by trade. Mm-hmm. The reason I was calling is I was just wondering if there's any way to see if there are any messages for me, because I do have something in my house, and it's so strange. This has happened to me throughout my life where I'm actually, I don't feel like I'm being followed, but I feel like there is, there are different energies when I relocate that come in. And I had one in my apartment when I was living in Pennsylvania. I just bought a house and moved to Virginia. I noticed when I was here by myself for about a month that there was another spirit here. So, and it's not the same one. When I lived in New Jersey, same thing. My dad had built a house. It was a brand new construction, and we had activity there as well. So I'm just trying to figure out, because really this is not my area of expertise, but I'm just trying to figure out if there's any way that you can pick up on why I'm experiencing this, or who the lady is in my house, or at some kind of way for me, who's not, you know, very skilled at the art of EVPs or anything like that, trying to get in touch with this woman to see what she wants. I'm not sure why this is happening to me.
This is a woman spirit then you're picking up, right? That's what you're saying?
That's what I get from it. I don't know if that's what you feel, but that's pretty much what I've gotten. The one in Pennsylvania that I dealt with before I moved down here, I'm pretty sure was a male.
That's exactly, yeah, I was just going to say, and I still think you have that male's in the background. I that's just instinct right off the bat.
Yeah.
I think you're haunted.
Yeah, me too, and I'm just trying to figure out what is it, because I'm you know, by trade I'm working with people on relationship issues, with employment issues, with money issues. I'm not really doing much work in the way of mediumship, although I have done it. I don't go there. So I'm just trying to figure out, are they trying to make me go there, or what's the purpose of all of this? Because really, when I'm here by myself, and I was living alone before, it really scared me more than anything else. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm feeling like, you know, psychically I can tap into it, but not in a very concrete way to where I'm really knowing what I'm dealing with. The one in Virginia where I'm living right now does not feel threatening in the least, but the last one did. So I'm trying to figure out what the heck is going on and why.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and carry you on into when the show ends here. So we're going to do.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, no trouble. So for those of you who want to listen in on this this whole deal, download the show and listen to the rest of it. But what we're going to go ahead and do is, since we have 3 minutes remaining, Kathy, do you? I'm losing my voice here. Kathy, do you want to do the shout out, and then we'll shut it down and then keep it going with this lady here?
Oh my goodness! Yes. Here comes Freight Train. All right. And we've got Adored Angel, After Dark Radio, Army Girl for Christ, Daniel Adam, Dominica Amore, Florida Christy, Florida Melanie, Going Back to Cali. Two guests, Jane Wayne, Nay, which is Renee, the one that called in tonight, Seeking Spirit, Solana, the Arizona UFO Show, and Veronica V. Thank y'all so much for coming.
Yeah, thank you, Solana. And Arizona UFO Show, everybody go listen to that guy. He's got a good show out there. And then there's Anthea with After Dark. She does some good, great conspiracy stuff. It's always
juicy. Did I skip over her? Oh, my God. I'm so sorry, Anthea.
I got her. But, she's really good. Arizona UFO. As a matter of fact, I wish I'd remembered to mention him. I was down here last month. So, but, with regard to your particular situation, you say that you're a medium, but you're not practicing as a medium, right?
No, because it's a little bit spooky. The times that I have gotten into that, I've had a couple of drinks usually, and it's a little bit, it's something that does not come very naturally, but, you know, with a couple of drinks, you can kind of let your inhibitions down to where it doesn't seem so, my own state of consciousness is lowered so that they can come in. I think normally I'm too strong for them to kind of come in, so it's only happened a couple of times, huh?
Well, what you've got going on, you have natural mediumistic tendencies, that's correct, but you've been, you've got fear. You've got a big fear block going on, so that's number one. I mean,
right.
This is kind of a, you know, it's a stumbling block, and the alcohols are removing that inhibition of that, and you're more comfortable with it. You're meant to be doing the work in the mediumship. Yeah, sorry, I had to tell you that.
Oh, God.
Supposed to be doing this. And I'm sorry, because that's what happened to me. Although I didn't need a drink, it's just I was doing paranormal investigation, and I just kept finding myself tuning into them, and it was like finally they were hitting me over the head with a bat. It got
right.
my attention, and that's what's happening to you. And they're using this as an opportunity to get through to you that you do need to do this. You're good at it. You know, you've got the gift. What you need, and it's funny, it's been mentor night, mediumship night, script writing night. But in your case, you've got the ability to do this. You just need to be around an experienced medium or two who can help guide you through.
Yeah, I do, because it's funny when these spirits have come into my residence, I can feel them, I can sense them, I can hear things. I don't hear so much voices. More or less, these couple experiences that I was talking about before, when I had a couple of drinks, it was more like they were talking through me. The one guy was funny as all heck. I was laughing so hard, and I didn't even know what I was laughing at. And it wasn't because I was drinking. It was just like this was a very funny person, you know, that came through. But I can sense them more.
We're about to lose the stream, so good night, everybody. And then catch the rest of this at the end. So good night, all. And thanks for coming in. Okay, now we're off stream.
Okay. No, I appreciate you talking to me about this, because like I know a lot of tarot readers. I know a lot of psychics. I've talked to the psychics that I know that are very good about these people that come in. But I can't get too much information as far as like hearing them or letting them come through me. It's more of I sense them. I know that they're here. I've even heard knocks in this particular house. It scared the bejesus out of me, because I was here with someone else at the time and heard like a rapping on, and I didn't know where it was coming from, but it was really quick, like a real quick succession of knocks. And that was the first time like physically in my physical realm that I heard something that was audible, like very strongly. There was no doubt about it. The other person heard it. Even the person that was on the phone with the person that was here with me heard it, and we couldn't figure out where it came from. And it was funny. I was here alone for about a month, and right before the person came back to see me, I heard the knock again. And I'm like, you know what? I just don't understand how to get in touch with the spirit to find out. And I was reading up about ghost boxes, and I was reading up about EVPs. So I was thinking about going that route maybe, so I could actually communicate with this, because, you know, I do use cards as a medium, but it's not the same as having an interaction where I could actually have a conversation and say, okay, what is it, you know?
Well, all those tools are communications tools. I mean, that's what we're doing. You know, like tarot is really a means of just using symbology. You know, you're tapping the subconscious, you know, communication. Then they're using the symbols to communicate through that to you, and that's an equally viable to any of the other technology. It's just you know, which do you prefer? The fact that they're doing physical manifestation on you, and it sounds not violent, it's just they're trying to get your attention. One of the things that they'll do is they'll start with knocks and bangs. They may try smells, you know, so you may experience smells, and they may do things like lights, like the prior caller who had a light in the home and was seeing a manifestation of that. Or full out apparition shows up and looks you in the eyes and says, "Hey, I'm here."
In Pennsylvania that I experienced, I found out right as I was moving out that there was a fire when this apartment building was constructed, and the fire happened in my apartment before it was even built, but it was half built. It burnt down. I would smell smoke all the time, and using the cards, I found out that it was linked to this thing. And the thing that was in my place was definitely negative. The only interaction type that I had was through dreams. Besides the feeling of the heaviness in my room, I didn't sleep in my room for about 2.5 months. I was sleeping on my couch in the living room, because it got so much to the point where I'd have these dreams. And one of the dreams in particular, really, really quickly, was I was laying on the couch physically, you know, and fell asleep, woke up on the couch in this dream, was looking at a TV that was on, got up and went to my bedroom, and it was completely black in there. And I went to go into the room, just took a step forward, and heard a growl in this room, almost like a demonic animal or something like that. I tried to turn on the light in the dream, and the light wouldn't go on. and I woke up. So it was kind of scary, you know what I mean? So I couldn't really be in that room because it felt like you were in a room like with 10 people, you know?
What you had going on, you had a classic haunt, and these are things that we run into all the time. I've been growled at more than once, and now I'm at the point it's like, okay, that's interesting. What do we do about it? And generally what, you know, and in my own home, I've had my own haunt troubles because, when you're a medium, when you do this work, you're like a light beam. I remember in that show, Chip Coffey's on with the Paranormal Children, you know, and mm-hmm. he holds up a lantern there, and what he does, he holds it up and he says, this is how you look to them. And, you know, he's talking about the kids, but just you and I as adults look just that way. And they want to talk to you, and they will do all kinds of crap to you, and that's you're haunted just like I am. But what I've learned to do is work with it because, for one, you can take an active part in controlling the access to you. You know, you can number one say no access. Number two, you can get tourmaline. Black tourmaline is a good one. Obsidian is another stone that's really good. Get sea salt and put it around you in your room. And that will kind of discourage any entities from coming near you and disturbing your sleep if you don't want them to. And you can sage your home, which is always good to do. And then, you know, go to a metaphysical store and talk to people about protection stones. So they'll get you the right things that you need for that. That's a basic educational technique to give you to control your access to these things. Number two, get around an experienced medium, a mediumship circle in your area that can really, there's spiritualist churches that do it. There's independent groups that do it. You know, probe around and you'll find a good group and just go with what feels good in your heart to do.
Yeah, I really have to look. That's why I've been kind of doing the talking to people through Blog Talk Radio. I just found that medium and started my own show. But you know, I'm in the Bible Belt and I'm out in the middle of nowhere, so it's kind of difficult to. I'm out in the middle of Virginia, right on the border of Tennessee, in the mountains. So it's a difficult thing to find anyone who's even remotely interested in this type of stuff here where I am right now. But I think you have a lot of great suggestions. There was the haunting in Pennsylvania was interesting because. You know, I do talk to a lot of metaphysical people that I know around the country from doing the work that I do. And we had tried, I had tried sage. I have black obsidian. I tried the salt. I was taking salt baths. I was, you know, and it was like no matter what I did, I couldn't, I had a shaman friend actually come over and bless my house. And for maybe like 3 days, that was the only thing that worked. And it only worked for 3 days. And then it was worse. So I'm just trying to figure out, like, I guess I should be looking for some information on, you know, like what I can do, I guess, as someone who they're trying to kind of seek out. Because this goes, you know, everywhere I go, and it just doesn't seem to matter, like, no matter what I do. I've cleansed and smudged this entire house. This stuff is still happening, you know?
Okay. If that was happening and you went through all the standard stuff, this is a little more complicated then. And just instincts, I'm going to go back to where I was when I began. You're haunted. You really are haunted. And this is something going back, what I immediately got after you said all this, and it opened up the kind of my mind to it. It's like, wait a minute, this is, you've got a lot of past life stuff with this. Is your family all gifted?
I believe so. I believe, and I've been told by, I have one friend who's literally so psychic, she will blow your mind. And she told me that I've gotten this gift from my father's side of the family, which I knew. My dad's very intuitive and psychic, but doesn't really use it. And his mother, who I never met, who I was named after, she died 4 years before I was born, but I was named after her, and he said she was very gifted the same way he is, the same way I am. So, yeah, I think there is something with that. I don't know much about, you know, individual experiences, but my dad had told me when he was a little boy, there were a couple of instances in his room at night where the covers would slowly be taken off of him, like pulled off the bed, and he would be fighting with this thing, and his dad would come in, my grandfather would come in, and tell him, go to bed, you know, you can't stay up any later, and, you know, he said, you know, and by the way, why are you cursing, what are you swearing at, and he said, there's this thing in the room, and he used to see things move and the blanket would be taken off the bed and this kind of thing. I know when I was 4 years old, my first experience of actually of any type of spiritual interaction was with my grandmother, who I was named after. Something had happened to me, and I was in my dad's closet. They weren't home, and I was sitting there kind of crying. I'd gotten into a fight with my half-sister, and she appeared in physical form. That was the only time I ever saw anything. And she was comforting me. So I'm thinking, and this has to be something with me, but there's got to be some kind of way to either tap into it and find out, like, okay, so what is it? And if it is that I'm supposed to be doing mediumship, what do you guys want me to do? Because I'm out here in the middle of nowhere. You know, I don't have the people or the instruments at my disposal to be able to explore this, really, and I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, you know. Yeah. Number one, this goes back multiple lives is what I'm getting, and you have done this before. This has been a recurring theme for your family. You've done this in soul groups. You've done this in the past. So I would your father did this with you the lives before, and that was 200 years or so back. That's the last time you incarnated. That's what I'm getting. And what I'm getting also is that the work you did back then got you in trouble and put you in a position. That's why you're having some troubles dealing with this now.
You
really need to do some, you need to do some things with, number one, dealing with the soul, going back and actually experiencing this for yourself so you can see what happened.
And is that soul regression or some kind of past life regressive therapy?
That's what I'm going to recommend, is that even if you have to travel, you know, and like in the coming year, go do that, that's one story. That's the understanding part. But the other part is also knowing what to do about it now. Number one, have you done any extended work with your guides and meditation work and things like that?
I don't meditate too much. I do have a spirit guide that I'm in touch with. That I do. I am clairaudient. I can hear her. The signal goes in and out, which is why I do use cards in my readings as well, because I don't like to just rely on her. There's more concrete symbology in the cards that can kind of get me more in touch. But I should be meditating more. I don't. I should be.
In trouble, honestly. But I do it enough that, you know, at a minimum of three times a week is kind of what I need to be able to kind of stay in touch with what's going on. And, you know, my guides come through and they do their thing with me. And I'm clairaudient too. I have the same thing. And it's like, especially my right friggin' ear, they like to go right in my ear. And it's like, and it's like, and I hate them. I don't know.
I could hear it in your voice when you were talking about that Debbie name, and I could so relate with that. I was like, you know, sometimes you'll just hear the duh, or it'll sound like a Deb, but it comes out to be, you know, D-E something else, and you're like, God, because you feel like you're going out on such a limb. You know, I've told so many friends of mine and clients, like, the psychic's kryptonite is self-doubt, you know, and it's really hard to get by sometimes when you're hearing this thing, and you know you got to say it. But it's like we're human too, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know what the worst part is when they decide that they're going to do. You're going to the bathroom and you're doing your business, and they come in and start telling you things, and it's like, and it's just, they go. It's just a human thing, you know. You know, don't worry about it. You know, we got to talk to you. And they act like that's like, hey, and it's like, God, just disappear for a while. I'll be and get done, okay?
But, right. You know, right.
In your case, it's like what I feel like is try to do 2 to 3 times a week is a good start. You know, that's what I seem to be able to support. I love all the people that, you know, they come on and tell you to do it every day. Well, you know, there's a limit. You got real life intruding. So, you know, do it at a pace that you can deal with. And, you know, I've got a bunch of them I've downloaded for free, and I just grab my MP3 player and I just go meditate. And I'm going to do that tonight, you know, because I got
it. Right.
But
right.
The other thing with you is you're doing all the right stuff. You're reading up on it. You're associating with people. You're asking questions. You're going on all the shows. You got your own show. You're going to talk about it. You're doing everything you need to be doing. And it doesn't matter that you're in, you know, probably one of the most hostile areas to mediums there is, but we're going to get through that. You know, that's like not a big deal because, believe it or not, there's a lot of closet mediums around you. You know, they're just in hiding. And when you light that light up a little more than you've been doing, that's going to show itself. So, you know, number one, just get yourself, you know, into the mode where you need to be and go through your meditation and grounding. You got to ground. You're supposed to do that. Yeah, you got to ground and do the grounding meditations too. And that's the one I'm always bad at. But I do that and I feel better afterwards. And I got to do it tonight. That's the one I'm going to pick. But the other thing with you is I'm just trying to, the fear is, there's palpable fear with this. And, you know, and I think that relates back to some of the negative experiences in the other life. And I just think that that's what's it's holding you back.
Right.
Thing for you to kind of stay, you know, I don't want to deal with this. And this one spirit that was pissing you off and you know, and doing this work that, you know, messed you up, this, you know, going into your own room and giving you all these troubles. A determined spirit can't overcome the normal, you know, repellents, you know, and I've seen this. I've seen things lift up.
I was shocked. I mean, it's a very spiritual man I brought into my house. I mean, I've tried everything that I could think of, and when it came back, there was one other dream that I had. I was looking up some death row information I'd written a 20-page research paper in college, and I was just going over what was going on with the death penalty and such, and I had a dream where there was an actual death row inmate in between a wall and my refrigerator, and he came out and starts screaming at me, and that thing was growling in the room again. And I'm just like, you know, I just don't get it, you know. I was trying to let this thing, this person, this death row inmate, out of my house, and my hands were, like, handcuffed in this dream. I couldn't move, and he was just screaming at me. And I'm just like, okay, I got to be careful what I even look at. The fear is very palpitable because I don't know what I'm doing. Second of all, I can just go to sleep and have a dream like that. It's almost like how close can they get? Do you know what I mean? It's like I almost feel like sometimes when I'm alone, it's so real that it feels so real that I wonder how far they can go. Do you know what I mean?
Well, let me tell you how far they can go. Last year, early part of 2009, I woke up, it was February, I think, and I woke up in the middle of the night with my feet being grabbed and I was being dragged out of bed. That's how serious it can get.
Yeah.
It happened. And I got madder than hell. I got up and went, yes, son of a bitch. And out came everything, and I'm going, you get your ass out of my house, and don't you ever got to do this again, and you stay out of my house, this is my house. And I was screaming, I was going, yes, son, don't you ever do that again, that's not allowed. And it's like, vamoose, they were gone. And it's like, you didn't see a spirit here for 6 months in this house. It was cleaner than the baby's bottom. I mean, it was, I've had a few of them come through, I've opened the door back up a little bit, but I was showing power, you know, back to it. You're coming from fear, and it's inviting in that one negative entity who's basically your teacher, your challenger. This is to teach you how to overcome that. When you get that, you get past that, it's, you know, when you're able to get past the fear and take command of it and say, get the hell out of here, you bum, you know, and mean it and show your ferocity to it. It's like, we had a recent incident with somebody close to me who was actually attacked, and she was placed in a fearful position for a matter of about an hour, and suddenly she got madder than hell, and she went, you're rotten. Same kind of a thing. And that thing went left out of here, and no, you know, it was gone.
Yeah, you know? And I think that might be helpful. I was thinking maybe for me to get in touch with a good medium and get a reading on what this is, because I'll tell you what, I've had a lot of dreams throughout my life. I'm 32 years old now, and this thing has taken – see, this is where I get confused. When I look at the hauntings in the different places I've lived, they've felt like they're different entities. But when I look back at my entire life and the dreams that I've had, there has been something that's taken form in faceless men that are trying to chase me, poltergeists that appear at an old job that I had that I was trying to save two other people from. This and that thing, whatever that is, has felt like the same thing, just taking different forms. And it's usually what I'm finding it is in my dreams. So I'm thinking, is it one thing that's following me throughout my life? Or is it that, and on top of it, this succession of hauntings of different entities as well? Do you know what I mean?
You're being set up, you know, what's happening with you is you've got this recurring theme. You're exactly right on. You know what your problem is. You've got this fear thing with this past life deal layered in, and it's been going life, you know, from place to place that you've lived. And you talked about the faceless men thing. That's a big clue. I mean, I would write that down because, you know, number one, there's obviously a violent male in that past life or early in this life somewhere, something's happened.
Right.
And something that's way down there, and it's coming out in this other way. And it's not only that, it's inviting in other entities. So you've got all these things. Now, this woman that's appeared in the current home, you're what, in Virginia right now?
Yes, I'm in Virginia.
So you've got this woman who seems to be a new feature in the whole thing, right?
Yeah. It's weird because usually in the past, like in the house that my father built when I was a teenager that I lived in, and with the apartment I had in Pennsylvania before I bought the house and came down here, it's always felt male. This time, though, it was like, this is different. I didn't feel this, you know, dominant, yeah, but not to the point where it was threatening. More like a woman of the house, you know what I mean? I didn't feel so, it wasn't as strong.
She's beneficial for you. I don't sense anything bad there. I don't think that she's, you know, I think she understands you. There's actually compassion with her, with you. It's she's a powerful woman, but she's also... She knows what you're up against and what you're dealing with, and she's a beneficial force in this, is what I'm sensing. You know,
right.
Just on what you're saying, and then just the feelings I get.
The other thing, and I hate to add one more layer to all of this, but
she's really on your side. You really need to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would thank her out loud after this interview. Yeah, I would. You know,
I will. I think it's just in my fear more or less than anything, especially with the rapping. It was just like right into my reality, and I'm just like, whoa, you know, this is
that,
just...
That was designed to get your attention, and you believe me, you've already had it given to you, but they're really trying to... This is to get you to wake up, to get your power where you're acting and not being a victim. And that's
right.
The whole point of this whole thing is it's karmic as hell. Is a sense I get. It's, you know, there's just this overriding sense of lesson, and you're being led to what you're supposed to be doing. And this is, you know, and basically you're stubborn as hell, and you've been led and screaming to this, and by God, they're getting their way. And, but you're going to feel a lot better for it, you know, and you're supposed to be helping the people, because look at how extroverted you are. You're incredibly extroverted, and that's good for you. That works for you. You're a smart, intelligent lady. You know, I'd like to meet you and say, shake your hand, and say, hey, you're cool. you have the gift. You know, so you know, use it. But now, what is this layer? You told me a layer. Now you got my attention.
Yeah, there's. I mean, that what I just told you was a second layer. You know, the whole reoccurring faceless man, the poltergeist apparition in my dreams. It takes different forms. But and then we have the succession of hauntings in the places that I've lived. Now, this is, I guess, more of a question, and I make a possible layer, but I'm not sure. When I was growing up, I had two older half sisters, and I'm just wondering, there was one episode of violence that almost befell me when I was 5 or 6 years old, and I'm just wondering if it's possible that the thing, the faceless man, the poltergeist apparition, do you think that it could possibly jump into people around me and try and play this out? And I'll tell you the story real quickly, and then you can tell me what you think. When I was 5 or 6 years old, there was a little bit of jealousy because my mom was married beforehand, before she met my father, had my two half-sisters, and then met my father after she was divorced. And we had, you know, she had my sister and I. And there was a little bit of jealousy going on there, but anyway, yeah. When I was 5 or 6 years old, I was left with this one half-sister. My parents had gone out to some function, and they weren't home. And she actually grabbed an axe and chased me around the house. We were out. If you could picture The Shining all over again, I was Danny in The Shining that day, running around this house, and she's chasing me. And I'm just wondering, like, is there something to that?
Yes, there's very
like,
much.
Like, could it be this thing that's following me?
It's not a thing. It is a spirit that is, you know, for whatever reason, has this, and it's basically, it's tied to you. I mean, this spirit seems to be holding a real grudge and has this whole mission to, you know, kind of screw around with you, and this happens to some people, and it seems to be one of them. But you know, you're one of these people.
Yeah, I was just wondering if it was possible for something like that—an entity that was just say following someone for whatever reason through their life—is it possible that they could jump into other people around them to try and get at them? You know,
it's documented many times that these things happen, and sure, you could have a person who's you know, sufficiently weak-minded for whatever reason. If you know, they're a child, or you're dealing with somebody who has a drinking problem or alcoholism, you know, or drug-related things, that opens the mind up to being taken over. That's why when you go to a bar, they talk about spirits. There's a reason they call it that, because there are spirits there waiting to cause all sorts of things.
And this is so funny that you're bringing this up, because that's like another layer to my story. I was a bartender for many years, and a couple of times in my bartending career, I've had people under the influence that didn't know me, that came up to me. Now, maybe they heard from somebody else what my name was, but they came up to me. One of them, this sticks out in my head more than anything. This happened probably about 5 years ago, 4 years ago, came up to me. I had only given him a couple of beers, but he came up to me and started singing to me, singing my name and saying, "We want you to come with us. We want you to come with us." And I was like looking at him, and he had this, like, you know, when you see somebody who you feel is under some kind of possession, because their eyes are, the way that they're looking at you is not like a normal person. It's more like haunting, you know?
Yeah.
And that's happened to me, too. So it's just very interesting you're bringing all of this up, because, yes, I do believe that in drinks being, they call it spirits for a reason, and I think we can lower our consciousness enough, things can kind of come in. And
I'm getting, okay, here it goes again. They're doing it to me again. I hate this shit. I'm sorry. I said a bad word. But do you know someone with an MA name like Marty or Mary?
Marty or someone living or past or either one? I'm trying to think.
Because I'm just getting his name, and it's an MA name. And, you know, and I can't tell male or female, but, yeah, they said to say the MA name, and I'm just going Marty or Mary, you know, something like that. But there's an MA name that's tied to this whole story. And so think about it.
I'd really have to sit back and think about that, because I know a lot of people.
It's a person, this goes back to your childhood. That's
okay.
The thing I'm told here. So this MA name goes back to your childhood, and they may know something about some of the why of this. That's the thing. And I think they are still living. I think,
you know, what's weird? The only thing I can think of when you say that, I call my mother Ma. And it's strange. And I've thought that this, you know how I was telling you before, my father's side has the gifts and all of that. My mother's side of the family has a lot of alcoholism, a lot of stuff going on, and it's strange. You look at my dad's side, and it's like psychic positive stuff going on. You look at my mother's side, and it's like alcoholism and bad stuff going on. And I'm just wondering if it has something to do with my mother, because she seems to be very troubled. And just wondering if maybe this is some kind of, this has something to do with
Well, you know, the fact that you're the biological child of her, right? I mean, this
yeah.
is not an adult, you know. So, bottom line is, you're a mix of both, and you have this, you know, these things run in families with alcoholism and addictive behavior, things like that. A lot of that does happen, you know, where it's a biological thing that's genetic. So you very well could have a spiritual entity or entities that, you know, are following that line of the family, and they see that potential weakness in you and are riding you over it.
Right.
So this is why the 12-step programs are so essential, because they are bolstering and covering up that weakness to a sense that that it discourages entities from actually trying to basically possess people to go drink, you know, and do these, you know, despicable behaviors that go beyond their what they would never naturally do if they could avoid it.
Oh,
so,
I completely agree. Yeah, 12-step programs really have a spiritual grounding too, because they do call it a spiritual malady. So I was just thinking about that, the fact that she is not so much a victim of alcoholism, but the fact that is something that is a problem with her could have something to do with what's going on with me. Because I do, it's funny the way that you put it, a split. That's exactly how I've always felt. It's like I could go either way. Like I have this psychic wonderful stuff going on, positive energy and extrovertedness and you know, my intelligence level, and not to toot my own horn, but I've got a lot of good things going on, and then I look at the other side of it and I'm like, oh, I could see how this could be bad too. You know, I do have an alcoholic predisposition, being that it is genetic, I believe, and this has been kind of passed on through both sides of the family, in fact. So it's kind of interesting when I've been looking at my life and reassessing it as I've gone on through the years. It's like, you know, I can see where I'm kind of like right on the fence here, you know, and I'm just walking that line. You know what I mean?
It's like now I'm not much of a drinker, although I am known on occasion on my show to have margarita night, and we just go, hey. But I mean, I have a pretty good control on that. I don't. It's not a routine thing for me. As a matter of fact, I mean, we did our margarita show. It was the first time I'd had anything to even imbibe in. God, it was like 4 years. I mean, that's how.
Wow.
Air I drink, and the next time we do it, we're going to have a non-alcoholic night, you know. But we're going to just play like margarita night, and I'll drink something akin to a margarita. But I mean, really, in your case, that's kind of an excessively dangerous thing to be doing.
And that's why I really try and stay away from it, because the first thing about the mediumship, I mean, I know that when you know I'm under the influence, I'm even more susceptible, because of my beliefs and because of my abilities, than most people are. So I really try and stay away from it, because I can see where, number one, the predisposition's there. Number two, I've already seen it happen before where, you know, my consciousness level is lowered and strange things start happening. You know what I mean?
Well, I would strongly urge you, for one, to continue your education with this stuff. That's the first thing. You know, do the past life regression would be a darn good thing, and also get into a mediumship circle wherever you can. You're going to find some in there. There's, you know, even in Virginia, yes, they are around you, and Tennessee will have them. You know, you're not that far away, you know, that you can't go
right.
to Lilydale. You know, you could drive to Lilydale, and it might take a day and a half to get there. But you could go there, too, and get around some really experienced mediums who can show you some things. You know, but I really strongly feel that you're going to find, you know, have luck finding somebody local. And if not, you've got the Internet. So
exactly.
There's a medium that I've been reading a lot of, and he has a book. His name is Brian Hurst. H-U-R-S-T, you know, Brian Hurst. I recommend you write that down. And he is extremely good, you know, because of his story. And he's very eminent. And he was connected to a lot of famous British mediums and physical mediums. Now, I'm a mental medium. And, you know, so I do it all just as, you know, and they talk to me clairaudiently and clairvoyantly. That's the two major ones for me.
Uh-huh.
And that seems to be you, too. But his books give you kind of a nice rounded education. And another one is Cheryl Booth, who actually lives just down the road from me, and I'm going to finally get to meet her.
Oh, wow.
Cheryl Booth, and she's worked with Brian. You know, Brian's a bit older. He's been, you know, he's been around a long time, and he's now semi-retired. But get into some of the books by other mediums. You know, that's what I'm saying to you, is just really get to know these people. Doing your suggestions, but you know, get in at a minimum. Get in with some people doing mediumship development, and they're going to help you with this because they're going to illustrate some of the things that I can't do. Just, you know, I mean, I'm putting a Band-Aid on this solution with you here.
I appreciate all your time.
Yeah, you got to live it, and I can tell you this. I mean, I've. You know, is, you know, even though I don't quote have a problem with like an alcohol and something following me around like what happened to you, I've got my own unique troubles and that I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm facing challenges just as equal to yours. And mediumship is the hardest thing in the world because you are literally surfing on the edge of insanity at the time.
Yeah.
Why am I getting these voices in my head?
What it feels like sometimes. You know, I guess that's why I'd really like to talk to another medium and say, okay, you know, and I've been consulting with psychics that are friends of mine, because it's like sometimes I really like question, am I just like tuning in too far to this? Am I really? But when that knock happened and then happened again a month later, it was like there is no freaking way that I could have imagined hearing that.
No, I have regular knocking events here, and we have cold spots. I'm on a haunted ranch here in Northern California. I mean, I have four bodies buried on the property. You know, they dropped them, they planted them. I mean, that's the way it worked. And one of them is a woman named Anna who was murdered on the property in the 1800s. And she is sweet spirit, and she shows up and. Sometimes I'm in Studio B right now. I have two radio studios on the property, and Studio A is my major studio. And she pops in on me when I'm in the middle of the show, and I get a cold spot on my arm, and I go, "Oh, Anna's here." But it's just, you know, you get used to these things, and that's where you just have to, you know, that's where you're at. You're in the beginning stages, and I have to admit, I mean, I'm just fresh off the boat myself, really. I mean. 2 years into this now, and I'm really starting to identify myself as a medium in public. I mean, I tell people I'm a medium now. I'm comfortable with that, and I'm working with that. And I'm starting my own mediumship development circle because, by God, there's nobody around here that's doing it, and I want to help other mediums. So we're working. We're going to work together. So
that's great.
So I'm going to get a group of about five people together, and we're going to figure it out. And I'm going to lead the group. And as a paranormal investigator, I've led teams, so I'm comfortable with that. But you know, the thing with you is, I just feel like you're really going to go far. I think you're going to go a lot farther than you think you will. You're going to be speaking on this stuff. A lot.
You're probably right. The only thing that I think I need to get through or get over is this fear. And maybe in your experience researching the paranormal and going out and seeing hauntings firsthand, maybe you've gotten a little bit more comfortable with the idea. You know, the funniest thing is, like, I am a horror movie junkie, but when it comes to this real life stuff, it's I can't deal with it. It's just like. I have no idea, you know. I guess from the movies I've watched, you know, I mean, how far can they go? I mean, everyone says, or the people that I've talked to say they can't come into your physical reality, but they're knocking. And if they're coming into my dreams, I don't know of how far of a stretch it would be to say that you couldn't be attacked. I mean, I've read about it. It never happened to me, but...
I've witnessed attacks. I've witnessed a full body tackled by a spirit on a fully grown man. I've seen. I have witnessed on my property a heavy ashtray lift up 3 feet in the air and get thrown it with force at me and landed on my toe and hurt my toe pretty badly.
Wow. So where do you get the strength to overcome the fear? Because I know that's probably what they're what's feeding this whole thing. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like in part I'm kind of part of the problem, you know?
The strength, it comes from knowing that God is with you all the time, is knowing that your guides are with you all the time and calling on them and being, you know, and knowing they're there with you. The strength is creating the conditions in your own home, which, you know, are favorable to spirit, to light spirits, to be around you, to help protect you and work with you. it comes from being around people who are good for you and who are uplifting with you and who you can uplift to in return and be an example for, and they are also examples for you. So when you start doing that kind of work and you're constantly working on your inner development and working on yourself, you become less of a target. You know, it's building, you're building armor, if you will. And it's really not in so much the sense that you're doing it because you're afraid of something. It's because you just become stronger and stronger and you become less of a target. You can't, you know, it's just like they look at you and go, that's not worth it.
Right.
I mean, I'm really a big fan of John Edward, you know, and the reason I am a fan of John Edward is because he went through some crap. I mean, and, you know, a lot of people say stuff about him, but I look at him and I see a guy that could be me, you know. Now, he's incredibly talented. He's got, you know, that's my role model. That's the guy I'm looking at going, yep, I want to be like him. And I'm working on that. But, you know, he's so into the, he's gone so far with that. That, you know, as a target, I don't think he's really, you know, any entity worth their salt is even going to look at him and go, I'm going to mess with him? No. You know,
I mean,
but that, yeah, he's really well connected in the spirit world, and he's paid his dues and he's earned his chops. That's where you're headed. You are working through all the same stuff that all mediums do. You know, it's just the self-doubt, the times when it's not a good night and you didn't do a good reading, you know, and you know it, and you weren't in the right place, the guts enough to say, I am not in a good place and I'm not ready to do readings tonight. Let's try Tarot instead and lean on that because you know you need to. So, you know, having to look within and know what your limits are. Those are very real things, you know, and there's nights on this show when I'm not all there. And I'll just rely on some of my other tools and technologies to help me. So it's just, you know, that's the real thing. You are going to do it. You're going to do this just fine. I really do. You get that with you. And I'm spending a lot of time on you because you really need to hear that. I mean, another medium walking in the door, it's a different story, you know, because I understand. I mean, I've been through this and I'm still going through it. It's the hardest thing in the world to do is to read somebody, and they walk in the door and they're putting their heart in your hands, literally. And some of these are incredibly hurt, and their lives are just, you know, they've got a desperate thing going on, and they just need an answer, and they want somebody to say it's okay. And sometimes it's not okay. And, you know, you got to have a constructive way to say that. I have cases come in here with, you know, there's been sexual abuse. You know, and you can feel it. You can see it. It's like staring in the face. It's like, and your eyes are going, yeah, you know, dad raped him, and here's what happened, and blah, blah, blah. And you're going, oh, crap. I got to work with this. what am I going to say? You know, and then you just trust spirit, and they will guide you. And the next thing you know, everything's working out. And these people are finding their answers. And yeah, they got to deal with the horrible, ugly truth of what happened to them, but then they start finding their way. And,
right,
you know,
right.
That's the good stuff in it. The hard stuff is the self-doubt. That's the worst of it. And it's a day-by-day battle. And even the pros go through it, you know, the ones that have been at it years and years and years.
Yeah, I recently had watched a video of George Anderson, and he was talking about that self-doubt, and was talking to a friend one day and said, oh, I don't even know what I'm getting. You know, I don't even know if this stuff, if I should be doing this anymore. And I'm watching this guy. He's amazing. I don't know if you've ever read any of his books or seen the way he reads, but I mean, he takes people, and basically at the end of his reading, they're in shock. They're just, I mean, blown away. Unbelievable.
Yeah. It's a tough thing. I've known, you know, I've met Annette Martin and some other mediums, and they're just really relaxed and comfortable, but they're human beings, you know, had a bad day and they had this and that, and it's like, you know, and they say the craziest things and you just go, whoa, you know, you know, it kind of dashes your whole thing when you see them actually be human, you know, and they're more than just, you know, you've got it built up that they're like these superhuman people, and they're just, you know, they get up in the morning and they've got bad breath, and, you know.
Right, exactly.
You know, you're as good as they are. You've got all the talent. You're doing great. I mean, I commend you. I think
I appreciate that.
Just this thing that's been following you is going to become less of a problem. That's what I'm getting out of it. What's being done to you is to try to dissuade you from following this course, and you just need to say no. Blow off.
Yeah.
And you're going to do just fine. You've got the gumption, and you're a strong lady. Very strong. Yeah.
Let me ask you one question, and I haven't been able to find the answer to this. I don't know if it's documented or not. Do you actually think that a spirit could actually kill somebody?
Yes. Absolutely.
That scares the hell out of me. I've read up, but haven't found any. You know, I know demonic possession and whatnot, and read some things about that and how that's happened. But yeah, I guess that's what scares me the most about this whole thing. It's such an unseen world. You know, we're kind of lifting the veil, if you will, and peering and seeing and hearing beyond. But you know, this reality, we've got certain rules like gravity. Do you know what I mean? There's certain rules that you know that you're not going to be able to fly. You know, gravity is going to keep you on the earth. You know, and that other one, I guess I need a more thorough education on what the rules, if there are any, are there.
Well, number one, for them to kill you, they have to interact with the physical world. We've already established they can do that, right?
Yeah,
so
true.
So they could throw an ashtray. Yeah, let's say that they had thrown an ashtray at my head and hit an old injury that I had. Yeah, I could be killed by them. That's entirely eminently possible. Would it go well for that spirit that did that to a living entity on this side? I think it would be I think Sky Boss would get really pissed off. Personally, and these things have happened, and yes, there are negative entities out there, and these things do happen. There's
yeah.
negative stuff out there, and some of them will try things, and you know, but they've got to deal with the light, you know, and that's why we as mediums work in the light. You know, we do everything we can to work in that because we have to, and that affords us some protection because we operate a little differently than most of the human beings do. We're literally between the worlds, you
right.
know. And incredible courage to do that. It's just the rules are, you know, pretty much do what feels right to do. If it doesn't feel right, trust your intuition and back off. And recognize that every heart that comes to you is unique and has its own unique troubles and trials and tribulations and successes. And see, and just give them as honest an answer as you can, you know, short
right.
of hurting. You know, cruelly, you don't want to do that, but you want to pass truth to them so that they really hear it in their heart and can listen from their heart. The rest of it, the mind and all those other things get in the way. You're trying to reach the heart. That's what this work is. You're in the heart. And when you the heart, then that is the place from which all truth and everything flows, and suddenly you get through to them and their soul can change and they can become better people. And then that, you know, that's what the aim of therapists are, but they don't quite get it because they're so lost in their technology.
So. Oh yeah, yeah. That's always the issue with my readings. That's why I was born on Valentine's Day, so I call myself Cupid's Healing Hearts because that's what I feel like I'm doing with my readings, and in a very truthful and honest and straightforward way. Sometimes, you know, it's very hard when someone is just, you know, kind of clutching onto you for a sliver of hope about a failing relationship that is doomed, you know, and to take that information and turn it around and make it a beneficial reading, one that, you know, might hurt but also heal. You know, when we have wounds, just like anything else, I mean, physically, it hurts to heal, you know. Sometimes it's a painful process, but in the overall, we're so much better for it. So yeah, that's been a struggle, but it sounds like you're a very honest person too with your readings. And that's kind of why I called you, because I heard you reading that one person and I was like, you know, I just hear it. I just know it. Like I've listened to, I don't know how many radio shows in the course of time I've been on Blog Talk Radio, maybe 2 weeks. And it's amazing what I'm hearing. And I'm like, I'm not really too impressed, but I tuned in tonight and I was very impressed. And I just wanted to call, and I'm so glad I did. I made a new friend.
Yeah, if you want to Facebook me, are you on Facebook at all?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook.
Yeah, just Facebook me. It's John John Almada, Almada, and I'd like to stay in touch with you. I'd like to.
Definitely.
Yeah, build a community of you know, online mediums that we could kind of, you know, share stuff back and forth, and yeah, I can always refer people over. Just you know, let's just stay in touch and keep talking to each other. Cause
my name is Amy Eager, by the way. So when you see me pop up on Facebook, that's who I'm going to be.
Okay. Well, Amy, yeah, thank you. I mean,
oh, thank you, John.
Yeah, you really are a tender heart. You know, you just this stuff that's happened to you is not. It's more than one life, that's for sure. You know, the big
yeah.
thing for you is just. I'll give you one final thing to think about. You know what fear really is, right?
I don't know. I don't know if I know.
Fear,
what do you mean?
Fear is false evidence against reality.
Oh.
That is what fear is. Fear is basically taking the truth and turning it into something it isn't. And then it always turns into something bigger than it is. And then it, when you actually face it, it turns into something smaller and it goes away. That's what fear
yeah.
is. So
very
these,
cool.
These creatures and things that have been messing with you and all that, they're nothing. They're just they're phantasms that need to go away, and they will. You are going to overcome that. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing, just as I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And when you really feel that, when you internalize that, these things will go away. That's
awesome.
That's the so you know.
You
just,
give me this
just,
like visual of that one horror movie, Nightmare on Elm Street, where Nancy turns her back on Freddy and says, you know, it's only a dream. It's not real, and you're nothing. And that's exactly what happened in that movie, and it worked.
Yeah,
you know?
It's exactly it. It's when you give power to those things, they become real. In the world of metaphysics, there's something called thought forms, and that's what we engage in daily. And that is why the news services and governments and all these sorts of things use thought forms to try to, you know, because they're actually a very real, tangible, physical thing, and they have great power, and they're like genes in a way. They carry great power and they live on. And they propagate themselves, and they're the worst thing possible when they're negative, and when positive, they're the best thing there is. It's just getting past the negative ones, you know, and looking at them and going, you have no power, you know, you're not real. You can totally destroy them with a single thought, you know. And this is where this is why, you know, you see references to magicians and magic and, you know, and priestesses and priests in the pagan world and all that kind of thing. That's what they were into. And, you know, and when you push religion very far, that's sort of what they're into, you know, even organized religions. So you can overcome an awful lot this way. And mediumship, we have to be good at a little bit of everything. So, you know, it's like you saw me, did you hear the reading where I had the guy that was, that had the gambling problem?
No, I did. I tuned in later.
Yeah. This guy had a gambling problem, and he was saying, he was wanting to talk about his jobs, and I'm going, no, it's tied to this. And he didn't get it for a while. And finally, when I said, look, you know, this addiction thing is a big deal. And he's going, oh, you're thinking it's this, you know, alcoholism or this, but it's gambling. And I went, it's even worse then. Yeah. And I said, by the way, you're talking to the one medium who has personal experience, because it's not me, that I knew someone real close to me who had this stuff happen. And the reason is because of a surgery. And when did you have surgery? And he goes, you know, and I said it in the last 10 years. And he goes, no, 15. And then it turns out he had an infection in his skull, and I went, oh my God, you know, you've taken all these years to manifest this. You
wow.
need to see it. You know, so these are the sort of things that, you know, in readings that come out, you know, you just, you never know what's going to happen. Tonight it was just crazy. I mean, that poor man was trying to get a job, and he's all worried about getting the job. And it's like, you're not going to get the job because your history with your finances stinks. You know, you've
right.
got what's on, and you need to deal with this. This is the truth. This is the reality. And he had to deal with it, you know. And I wish he would. I hope he does it. I hope he goes and does what I ask him to do with the doctor.
I'll have to go back and listen to the archive. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff that comes in the door, and you're going to get that in your practice when you start doing this kind of thing. It's a mind trip. I mean, you never know what's going to come through, and it's going to eternally surprise you, and it'll challenge your reality.
Let me ask you a question real quick. I'm just searching here on Facebook. There's a couple of John Almatas, though, and I'm not sure which one you are.
John.S.Almata.
John.S. as in Frank?
Yeah, John Franklin, actually. John, J-O-N, Franklin Almada. So John.
Oh, J-O-N. I was pulling an H in there.
I guess. No.
That's
yeah,
probably why I wasn't finding you. I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
I still don't see you here. It's just strange. I'm looking for the F.
Oh, just type John Almada, or you could go look for Spencer Hughes, and you'll see me and Spencer. He's a member of my web or my team, and then you can find
Spencer,
me through him.
Spencer, why?
Spencer Hughes, W or H U G H E S. Spencer Hughes.
Oh, Hughes. Okay.
And then you'll see me in there. I'll stay on with you. LS.
Yeah,
not,
let me just try and find you here so I don't lose touch with you. See here.
Yeah, it's definitely. I wonder why I'm not popping up because it's so. Yeah, I've got like a huge presence out there. But Spencer,
are you under as a public figure, John?
Just look. Well, not public figure, but just try. Just take like your page and then go up to the URL bar where your name is.
Okay, let me go into my profile so I can.
Yeah,
do that.
And this will get
okay.
you to me. And then up there it should have you like your full name or whatever you use for the Amy on it
there's
right
an,
there.
There's an ID number. I don't understand what I'm doing wrong here. Let me just try and I'm going to just go back to my home.
Yeah,
here.
search people and then just do John, just put J-O-N space Almada, A-L-M-A-D-A, and then see if I pop
A-L-M-A-D-A.
Up in there.
A-L-M-A-D-A. Okay, let's see.
I should so be in there.
Enter a query. Okay, let me try this again. Okay, now it popped up a bunch of people here, but they're all there's one John Almada, but he looks like he's a teenager. That's you.
No, I'm definitely not a teenager.
There's a bunch of Jonathan Almadas here.
I'll tell you what, since we're just on archive, I'm just gonna go ahead and give you my email address and then I'll pop you
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's jon.almada@gmail.com.
Okay, jon.almada@gmail.com.
Yeah, and then I'll just go ahead and send it to you and get you in there.
Oh,
and
awesome.
Then,
okay,
yeah,
that works. So, thank you
right.
so much.
Hey, you're welcome, Amy. So, yeah, this has been an interesting conversation. I think you and I are going to be staying in touch.
Yeah, definitely. I'm so glad I called because I'm wanting to learn more and more so I can kind of put some perspective on what's been happening in the last 32 years and how to deal with it more constructively so that I'm not it's strange. I have a real – and it's strange because I wasn't always this way. I'm a very independent person. I have no problems being on my own, but the older I've gotten – and the more experiences I have, it's strange. I have I just don't like not being around people now, you know, because it's like, I feel like when I'm alone, I'm susceptible for some reason. Almost like for instance, like when I was here alone in the house versus not alone, it's almost like this place becomes a different place. I don't know if that even makes any sense to you. I'm sorry.
It does. It's just, one of your great, great challenges will be to become comfortable with yourself no matter where you're at, because you realize that you're never alone. That's when you really are going to be, I think you'll really hit that stage when you really feel that, your angels, God, wherever you see God to be is always with you. You can walk into the most haunted place and go, yep, I'm cool, and hang
wow.
out there. That's kind of where I'm at. I mean, yeah, I just walked out of Preston Castle, one of the most haunted places there is. And yeah, it took a toll on me. And there's been some stuff that I've been dealing with since then. But I had God with me the whole way, too. And there were things that I went through there that I still can't believe I went through. I was shown... in very graphic detail, in a vision that I was given while I was in there, what happened to Anna, who was a 52-year-old woman who was murdered there. And
wow.
I actually got to see her body, and I mistook it for a man because it was so bludgeoned.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know, those are the sorts of things, you know, that I get to see, you know, in my work. But it's just that, you know, it's okay to be alone, and you're going to get over that. Don't, you know, this, your part of your training as medium is you're going to have to face all your fears.
Lovely.
Yeah, it's not going to be like, you know, you don't just get to stand up in front of the audience and do all this fun stuff and have your people come to you. No. You got to do all this stuff. Hard work. You know, you signed on for this. You did.
Oh my gosh.
Yep, and that's why you have other mediums to help you, and you know, we help each other, so we know our own. So.
Right. Awesome. Well, John, thanks so much. I'm going to let you go. I'm going to send you off an email here in a minute or two just saying hi, and so you have my name. You can look me up on Facebook, and we'll talk again soon. I'd love to have you as a guest on my show sometime. It'd be wonderful.
You on Blog Talk?
Yeah, I'm on Blog Talk. It's cupidshealinghearts.com. My show's called Cupid Psychic Aim.
Okay. I'll tell you what, I would love to be on. That works
for
me.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, okay. My first show is going to be on Halloween, so when I get situated and stuff, I'll definitely look you up, and I'd love to have a night where we talk about the paranormal and mediumship and some experiences perhaps you've had, and that would be wonderful.
Okay. Sounds like a deal. I'm all for it.
Awesome, John. Well, thank you so much.
All right, Amy. Well, hey, I'm going to sign off here, and then I'll just run over and grab the email, so I'll be looking for your mail.
Okay. Thanks again, John.
Okay. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Okay, and with that, this is Ghost Rider Pyramid.